303-543-1414 or go to pc-answers.com. That's PC Answers, 303-548-1414.
Progressive traffic and your forecast coming up afternoon on AM 760 Progressive Talk. KKZN Thornton, Denver Boulder. And on AM760.net.
A nuclear North Korea brings America's top diplomat to Asia.
The United States has no desire to escalate this crisis.
Heavy U.S. toll in Iraq.
68 U.S. troops killed this month.
Goodbye to one of the greats.
And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
And good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. With North Korea perhaps poised for a second nuclear test, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is in Tokyo, first stop in a swing to bolster support for UN sanctions.
The United Nations Security Council has acted firmly and resolutely to say to the North Koreans that their behavior is unacceptable and that it is in fact isolating North Korea from the international community.
I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. Shunning North Korea is the centerpiece of U.S. policy.
And the consequences of a second North Korean nuclear test will be the further isolation of North Korea.
Spokesman Tony Snow, as the administration pins its hopes on U.N. sanctions. Former Ambassador Wendy Sherman, the Clinton administration's Korea troubleshooter, says the U.S. must now urge China to pressure the North to resume negotiations.
Because sanctions alone will not do the trick here.
And diplomatic experts say there are few ways to further isolate the already shuttered North Korea. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
October is turning out to be a horrible month for American troops in Iraq. CBS's Cammie McCormick has the latest live in Baghdad.
Steve, the military released a flurry of press releases this morning, all containing bad news. Five soldiers killed in a roadside bombing Tuesday, one by gunfire. Another three in enemy action in Diyala province, east of here, and a Marine in Anbar province. This brings to 68 the number of troops killed this month, and their patrols have increased. Their visibility is higher, and that makes them more vulnerable to attack.
The Iraqi government has fired the country's two most senior police commanders. Both have been criticized for allowing Shiite militias to infiltrate their ranks. In this country, some new technology may make for better airport screening. CBS's Jim Taylor tells us about it live.
Steve, the new screening would involve three-dimensional X-ray machines, not just better at spotting liquid explosives, but guns and other weapons as well. Transportation Administration officials call the 3D machines a step beyond what is available now. The hang-up, though, the cost. An upgraded traditional X-ray machine costs between $75,000 and $200,000. The new state-of-the-art multi-view X-rays could cost $400,000, and they're still 2 years away. Reporting live, Jim Taylor, CBS News.
He was the voice.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup.
Christopher Glenn, journalist, radio legend, mentor to so many of us, has died of cancer at 68. He covered so many things, so memorable during the Challenger disaster.
A report relayed through the flight dynamics officer.
A terrible thing.
The vehicle has exploded.
A terrible thing. Debris falling out of the sky, falling slowly, painfully, tragically slowly toward the Atlantic Ocean, just a few miles offshore.
Before that, on TV.
In the news, the Shah of Iran and the President of the United States.
Chris helped cereal-crunching kids digest the news while they watched Saturday morning cartoons.
In a moment, more about this Middle Eastern ruler in the news.
But radio news was where he said he was most comfortable.
I've always thought that the medium was especially good for communicating with audiences because you don't just have to sit there and stare at the pictures. You have to tell them the story and make them understand, you know. And I think that that's much more of a challenge for a journalist.
Chris's death just 8 months after he signed off this broadcast for the last time.
I've been doing the work I love for nearly 50 years now. Honored to have done it at this great news-gathering organization the last 35. But retirement is beckoning, and it's a wrap for me. Not, though, until I say one more time, and proudly, that's the World News Roundup. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
And in 2 weeks, Christopher Glenn will be inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago. 4 minutes past the hour.
This hour brought to you by John Lang Homes. Visit johnlanghomes.com.
Good morning. I'm Corey Lopez with an AM 760 local news update now. Light snow this morning with some slick spots over bridges and overpasses, but it could have been worse in the metro area. 3 to 5 inches of snow on some of the grassy areas in lower elevations with 6 to 9 inches of snow on the ground in the high country. Chain laws up for I-70 over Floyd Hill. The approaches to the Eisenhower Tunnel over Vail Pass and Loveland Pass. Eastern Plains, a mess. Drivers say the black ice, a big problem on I-70 near Lyman.
Well, as more cars, people are coming to work right now, the backup looks, I'm probably looking at a good 2.5 miles.
He says trucks are lining the side of the interstate near Lyman. Rescue crews ready to resume the search for hunters missing in two counties. The parties missing in Garfield as well as Rout counties. The weather overnight includes snow and blowing snow conditions there. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Corey Lopez. Now, Gina Michaels with AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Thanks, Corey. Good morning. Well, not as bad as it could be in Metro Denver, but freeways and surface streets still wet for sure, slower than average speeds. You want to give yourself extra time this morning. We've already got a collision northbound 25, right lane blocked under E-470. Also, a hazardous drive for you, I-25 at Monument Hill, I-70 at Lyman. Chains are required along I-70 at the Eisenhower Tunnel and the Vail and the Loveland Passes. You also want to be careful with those bridges and overpasses. They could be very icy. Security wait time at DIA, 5.
Online advertising spending is expected to grow drastically in 2006 as more companies realize that internet advertising can be effective and affordable. Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how you can get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Give us a call and find out if internet advertising can make your business money. Call 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318. Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how to get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Call 303-713-8318. 303-713-8318.
Okay, for all you people who wear glasses, open your eyes. Your glasses aren't doing jack to improve your natural eyesight. Not one thing. Oh, don't get me wrong. You may be able to see better when you put them on, but glasses are nothing more than a crutch. A momentary patch job on a problem that may actually be improved by you. And I'm not talking about LASIK or some other surgery with people poking around your eyeballs. No, I'm talking about a simple system from Vision Improvement Technology that you can do on your own that just may strengthen your natural eyesight and help you start seeing more clearly. The award-winning doctors who created it believe it can totally eliminate or reduce your dependence on glasses or contacts once and for all. This is for real. It's a real system created by real doctors. But don't take our word for it. Let us send you a free video to see this program firsthand for yourself. A free video just for calling. Call 1-800-220-1174. That's 1-800-220-1174. 1-800-220-1174.
We're talking with Paul Dow from Timeshares Only. Paul, I hear you've just come out with this great new kit that you're giving away?
Yeah, it's called The Top 10 Secrets to Buying and Selling Timeshares, and it's just a phenomenal resource for anybody looking to sell their timeshare.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, first of all, it tells you what your timeshare is really worth.
Uh-huh.
And more importantly, how to sell it for top dollar. Well, there are thousands of people out there just waiting to buy your timeshare. But you sort of need to learn the secrets to getting the most cash for it.
And the kit is free.
Yes, but it's only a limited time offer, so you need to call our toll-free number now, and we'll rush it right out.
Well, sounds like a pretty sweet thing for really anybody who owns a timeshare.
It really is. It could make you thousands of dollars.
Okay, the top 10 secrets to buying and selling timeshares. Here's the phone number to call. It's 1-800-550-7870. Again, that's 1-800-550-7870. 1-800-550-7870.
Do you know the secrets to making money on the internet and with online auctions? People are making so much cash on the internet, including the internet's largest marketplace, eBay, that they're actually quitting their jobs. And so can you, with a CD called The Secrets to Online Auctions, which is yours absolutely free of charge by calling right now 1-800-226-9008. Hurry, there's only a limited number of these free CDs available. 1-800-226-9008. This free CD is brought to you by Internet Speedway, a group of professionals who've made fortunes with the internet and sites like eBay. Now, for the first time, they're sharing their tips with the general public. With this free CD, you'll learn how you can sell products on the Internet that you'll never have to see, store, or even pay for. Learn the simple strategies to online auctions from the professionals. Request your free CD called The Secrets to Online Auctions While Supplies Last. Just call 1-800-226-9008. The sooner you call, the sooner you'll know the secrets to true Internet wealth. That's 1-800-226-9008.
Have you ever had a diet fail because you were hungry all the time?
If you have, don't worry. It's not your fault. It's almost impossible to lose weight if you're always hungry. Hi, I'm Scott Johnson.
And I'm Steve Bostick. We're the creators of Right Size Smoothies. The secret is a cutting-edge appetite manager called Appamine.
It's in the smoothie. You drink the smoothie, it knocks out your appetite, it helps you burn more calories than you take in safely and without being hungry.
And that's what leads to weight loss. I just talked to someone who ordered Right Size. Her name is Ann. And she's already lost 17 pounds.
Because it's such a great product, we're going to do something crazy here. We're going to let you try Right Size Smoothies free for 2 full weeks.
Just call within the next 15 minutes and our operators are going to tell you how you can try our smoothies free. See how it works for you, and either you lose the weight or you'll never pay for them.
Call within the next 15 minutes for your free trial of Right Size Smoothies. 1-800-644-1454. That's 1-800-644-1454. 1-800-644-1454.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Several books, including Iraq Confidential, The Untold Story of America's Intelligence Conspiracy, and his latest is called A Target Iran, The Truth About White House's Plans for Regime Change. I've been getting emails from you about Iran now for the last couple of weeks, and we had retired Colonel Sam Gardner on the show here 3 weeks ago, maybe, and he talked about the fact that plans to go after Iran, we're already on the president's desk. We'll get Scott Ritter's take on that and also his take on North Korea. Then coming up at 7:30, former Florida Senator Bob Graham joins the show to talk about the latest issue with North Korea. North Korea, of course, now getting ready, or sending signals at least, that they're going to attempt another a nuclear test. Even though the Chinese have warned them not to ratchet up tensions in the area, they still seem to be committed to going ahead with it. Graham was governor of Florida from 1979 to 1986 before serving in the Senate from 1987 to 2005, and we'll have him on. Then at 7:45, we're going to talk some more about North Korea and what to do about this with Rand Beers. Beers is in the adjunct lecturer in public policy at Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government. We'll talk to him. He's got an extensive career in the military. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll have some discussions of some amendments as we start to get closer to the election time. Jared Polis will be here. He'll be here to discuss Amendment 41. He's vice chairman of the Colorado Board of Education. And then at 8:30, we'll discuss Amendment 39 with State Senator Sue Wendells from Senate District Number 9. And in between all of that, we'll pass on other information to you and also squeeze in your phone calls at 303-713-7600. If you didn't see Keith Oberman's show last night on Countdown, he did what I think is a really good piece, including an interview segment with constitutional lawyer Jonathan Turley about the detainee bill that Bush signed yesterday. And we'll have a rundown on that. If I get time, I might have to do it after 9 o'clock. We'll play that for you. It runs about, what, 5, 6, 7 minutes, something like that? About 8 minutes. But it's worth sitting through, and it's worth listening to if you missed Oberman's show. And we'll play that back for you. Meanwhile, we got time here this hour at 303-713-7600 to spend some time just taking some phone calls and talking as you're sipping your coffee or on the road or whatever the case may be or whatever your morning ritual is. And it's good to have you along. I want to open this up by pointing to an article this morning in the Denver West section of the Denver Post. This is election 2006, and I kind of want to broaden this out and talk a little bit more about it. We've got David Kuo coming on Friday to talk about his book, Tempting Faith, which he's now doing the book tour thing and is all over the networks and is sitting down with everybody, including Newsweek and a lot of printed publications, giving interviews about it. And I do, we do discuss a lot about religion on this show. And the thing that I find to be, and this has always happened, the thing I find to be really, I don't want to use the word amazing, but puzzling is probably a better word. The thing I find puzzling is that if you take a section of Christianity, and that section being what I consider to be the right-wing authoritarian Christians, and I'm talking about very specific people like James Dobson, people like Jerry Falwell, people like Donald Wildman, people like Tony Perkins, Ralph Reed, and I'm naming off leaders here, but I think you get the idea. And you try to point out how you disagree with them, and then how through the information that you found out in this book, and also through the quotes of other people like Tucker Carlson, who is not a liberal, that evangelicals and people on what's considered in this country to be the Christian right are getting used by the GOP, and are they waking up to the fact that they're getting used by the GOP? I get emails from people claiming that I'm attacking mainstream Christianity, and I have no clue why that is, because I have nothing against Christianity, and I have nothing against mainstream Christianity. I have nothing against any kind of Christianity. I think everything should be fought out in the place of public ideas, but I do have concrete beliefs on aspects of this, and one of those beliefs is the separation of church and state. I believe that there is a separation of church and state. I don't want my tax dollars going to religious institutions in any way, shape, or form. We had somebody on from the Anti-Defamation League here last week to talk about the ballot measure that's here in the Denver area, 1A for Denver schools. I don't have any problem with sending kids and paying for kids to get into school as early as they want to go. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to give money to religious institutions to do that. I just don't want to do it. I just don't believe in it. And Colorado's leading candidates for governor sparred over the proper role of church and state yesterday at a debate sponsored by the Denver area Jewish groups. Democrat Bill Ritter left Republican Congressman Bob Beaupre speechless after criticizing Beaupre's running mate, Mesa County Commissioner Janet Rowland. Ritter said churches, synagogues, and mosques can serve as a conduit for government funding to needy people when those institutions are neutral about how they distribute the aid. But then he pointed out that Beaupre's running mate is on record saying that she doesn't believe that there's a separation of church and state. Beaupre shook his head during Ritter's remarks and declined the moderator's offer to defend his running mate. Instead, Beaupre chided Ritter for attacking somebody who was not there. Well, I think Ritter had every right to bring this up, because you're voting for a governor and a lieutenant governor. According to a July-August 2004 issue of The Testimony, Western Colorado's Christian Chronicle, Rowland and other political candidates were asked a series of questions about religion and public life. When asked, how do you feel about the separation of church and state, Rowland answered, it's not in the Constitution. We should have freedom of religion, not from religion. Ritter said he thought the federal government's faith-based initiative can help provide valuable funds for social programs, but when he was district attorney, he said he used such money for a program to help senior citizens. I want to say that we need to be very, very careful, Ritter said. We need to be stubborn stewards of that relationship of the separation of church and state. Beaupre said restrictions on money to religious organizations has hurt society. I think that we've inhibited the good that religious organizations can do in our community, Beaupre said, and the exchange was one of the few new areas covered by the candidates who have met head-to-head in debates more than 20 times. And Tuesday's debate was at the Hebrew Educational Alliance in South Denver. And I don't disagree. Well, there's a part of me that actually disagrees with Ritter. I just don't think religious institutions should receive money at all, taxpayer money. But we can never have this discussion. You can never have it on the radio. Not on this radio station, not on any other radio station I've ever worked at. You can't have the discussion without getting the emails from people saying you are attacking mainstream Christianity. And I see myself as not attacking mainstream Christianity. I see myself as attacking only a segment of Christianity. And I see myself as upholding what I believe is a separation of church and state in the Constitution. And I guess the question I'm asking this hour is, why the emails about attacking Christianity? And do people, do you and do others, really realize that there's different... Of course you realize this. I mean, this is now that I think about it, it's a stupid question to ask. Do you realize that there are other schools of thought involved in Christianity? And that not all Christians think the same? But how do you turn around and point out who you're talking about without offending everybody else on the planet? 303-713-7600, four open lines if anybody wants to get off their early morning half moons and get into this. 303-713-7600, you want to crawl out of your shell and you're warm enough and get involved. I'd love to hear your take on all of this. Right now we'll get traffic with Gina.
Thanks, Jay. Well, we're still dealing with a tough morning as far as road conditions go. Right now in the metro area, not too bad, although we already have a wreck northbound 25. It's blocking the right lane under E-470. Got a pretty hazardous drive outside the city, I-25 at Monument Hill, and of course along I-70 through the high country. Definitely chains required at the Eisenhower Tunnel, the Vail and the Loveland Passes. You want to be very careful that you're on and off ramps to the highways. They could be very icy for you. Weather today, light snow showers early, afternoon clearing, cold 38. Currently 23 degrees. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Let Freeway Ford give you the edge this winter with a loaded 05 Explorer 4x4 for just $15,900. That's right. While supplies last, get a loaded 05 Explorer 4x4 for just $15,900. Peace of mind on a budget. Only at Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont, Ford, Third, and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
I'm Elizabeth Rome. There's something I want to tell you that can save your life. It's the connection between some types of HPV, the human papillomavirus, and cervical cancer, a cancer diagnosed in thousands of American women each year. But cervical cancer can be prevented through recommended Pap screening and treatment if detected. Help others make the connection between cervical cancer and HPV. To learn more, visit maketheconnection.org. Sponsored by the Cancer Research and Prevention Foundation and Step Up Women's Network with support from Merck.
The Real Estate Advocate presents, as a special guest, co-author of the New York Times best-selling book, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, this Saturday, October 21st from 1 to 2 p.m. To help you with your real estate and mortgage problems, tune into The Real Estate Advocate Show with real estate and mortgage expert Sean Healy of Keller Williams Preferred Realty. Sean's here to help you with all your real estate and mortgage questions this Saturday with author Dave Jenks. Call Sean at 303-252-4444. That's 303-252-4444. And tune into The Real Estate Advocate every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on AM 760.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, the LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK, the latest FDA-approved technology for a fraction of what other providers charge. You can even finance it with 0% financing. Get a free information kit by calling 1-800-700-9313. That's 1-800-700-9313. 1-800-700-9313.
The Army National Guard.
My name is Robert Elliott. I joined the Guard on my 17th birthday. I'm actually going to be one of the first grandkids in my family to go to college. The Guard's paying for my college and my books. The time I served in the Guard taught me a lot. It's also enabling me to make my life better by paying for college, teaching me the life's lessons that I just wouldn't have received. Hear the story about how the Guard changed my life at 1-800-GO-GUARD.com.
Sponsored by the Colorado National Guard, aired by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Blue List is AM 760's exclusive referral program dedicated to promoting progressive companies like Icon LASIK Center, Louise Aaron Attorney at Law, and Computer Superheroes. Go to am760.net today and learn more about how you can join these companies in support of Progressive Talk AM 760.
Live, local, and progressive. Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 624, 24 minutes after 6. High today, 43, mostly cloudy with flurries. Look for it to clear up tomorrow and a high of 58. Talking about the debate yesterday between, last night, between Bill Ritter and Bob Beaupre, and the subject of religion came up, and the idea of pointing out evangelicals or pointing out what I consider to be the hard authoritarian right Christians. And how do you criticize them without people thinking that you're criticizing all of Christianity? Because that's the kind of emails I get. And an example of this is James Dobson, who, of course, is down in the Springs, made a public statement yesterday that other GOP staffers and congressmen would be outed. Now, if they haven't done anything wrong, why should they be outed? I totally and completely disagree with that. And the idea of labeling them sodomites and all of that. So if you stand up and you defend that stuff, then what ends up happening is you get branded with, well, I listen to you and I like what you do, but your attacks on religion, and they go on and on about me beating up on Christianity, and I'm not beating up on Christianity. That's not what I'm doing at all. Let's go to Cliff in Aurora. Cliff, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. How are you today?
Good.
Funny, I was thinking about the same thing before I turned on the radio. Just heard your preface to everything and sort of see where you were what you were talking about before. And the whole situation, the way it's coming to bear now, suggests to me a couple of things. First, this is one of the salient reasons, the salient reason perhaps, that you should have separation of church and state. The state is going to corrupt your religion one way or the other. They're going to promise you things that they can't deliver you, because if you are a Christian and you're making these demands, a lot of the things that you're demanding are unconstitutional, and a lot of them are immoral, and I can support that in a lot of ways. And a lot of them are unlawful. And so you're going to really have to go the distance in order to get these things done. And the end result is you're not going to be fairly representing people. I remember evangelical Christians, I had heard recently maybe 7% of all Christianity. No, I'm sorry, 7% of the voting public. And I don't know how that would fit in with everything else. And also the values they reflect are supposedly rural American values. But rural America is pretty much white, and again constitutes maybe 20% of the actual population in the United States. So these aren't necessarily majority values. Also, if nobody stands up and says that Pat Robertson doesn't stand for all Christianity, and that Jerry Falwell doesn't, neither one of these guys apparently ever read Christ's Second Commandment and Christ's admonishment that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's in Matthew 22:40. But that sort of says that's the ultimate Supreme Court ruling here. It isn't Christian if it isn't loving your neighbor as yourself, and it isn't Christian if when you don't worship God, you mean it. You know, that seems pretty simple. It's easier in Judaism. You guys got 10.
Well, you brought up a really important point here. I'd love to explore this with a bunch of people, too. One of the things that I always get, and people call up, and I get emails about this, when you start to talk about people who you know who are Islamic or who have their faith as Muslim, and you start to talk about the fact that they're very decent, hardworking human beings, they're as much American as any of us, that they feel besieged and they feel put upon, and inevitably the question I will always, the statement I'll always get out of somebody is this one. Well, how come mainstream Islam, if there is a mainstream Islam, how come it doesn't rise up and denounce all of these terrorism and Al-Qaeda? And the next time somebody says that to me, I'm going to turn around and say, if James Dobson, if Jerry Falwell, if Donald Wildman, if those guys and their extreme followers represent Christianity, why doesn't mainstream Christianity stand up and denounce them?
Well, if they don't, you know what they have is they have these people speaking for all of Christianity to people who pick up their what they think is a mainstream Christian view from Pat Robertson, who says that there's a Jesus fetus in the middle of a hurricane that's coming to destroy whoever it is that he hates. Or you listen to Jerry Falwell anytime he goes on television, I swear this is every time, give him 2 minutes and he'll be talking about who he wants to kill. I swear to it. It's every time he's going to start hating people and preaching it. Man, you can't hate gays and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do, you're fudging on the word neighbor, and you need to readjust your values, your Christian values, your Christian ethic.
They'll always tell you, we don't hate the sinner. We just hate the sin.
Well, but that's great, but that's not loving your neighbor as yourself. How about if I wanted to impose Gnosticism or Satanism on you? You going to let me do it? You know, they're going to do that. They put themselves in the position of being proselytes, and you can't really love your neighbor and proselytize to him.
Yeah, that's very, very, very true. Cliff, thank you, man. Great call.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good morning.
You bet. Bye.
A couple of lines open at 303-713-7600, and we're talking about how do you single out people like the Falwells, the Robertsons, the rest of them, these hard right Christians. And if you single them out and you criticize them, then what you get, inevitably, you get blowback, and the blowback is you're picking on Christianity. You're ungodly-like. Now, take that standard and turn it around. How many times have people called here and said, well, Muslims, members of the Nation of Islam, Muslims, people who believe in Islam, how come you don't get up and denounce bin Laden? How come you don't get up and denounce the president of Iran? Why don't you get up and say something about these extremists? Well, how come mainstream Christians don't get up and say anything about these extreme Christians? I find that to be a pretty interesting question. 6:30 at AM 760, Progressive Talk. Let's get a look at traffic now with Gina.
Well, it's a pretty messy ride, as you could well expect, Jay. We've got multiple problems. Eastbound 6 just shut down now at Indiana due to multiple wrecks. We also have an interstate closure outside Denver. Weld County I-76 shut down at Morgan County Line due to very hazardous driving conditions and multiple collisions there. Highway 58 closed temporarily at I-70 due to a plow truck collision. And as you could well expect, it's going to be a messy one here in the metro. Crash sits in the right lane northbound 25 under E-470. We've got a brand new one northbound 25 at 140. 44th. Weather today, light snow showers early, afternoon clearing but cold, 38 degrees, currently 23. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Take your next vacation to Acapulco. Sandy beaches, great nightlife, and 100% sunshine guaranteed. Acapulco will pay for your accommodations.
Do you know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right. The secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read one. Hi, I'm Steve Glick, CEO of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret, developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your whole family. Kids do better in school, teens can actually score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo is only available for a limited time. Call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-398-4022. That's 1-800-398-4022. 1-800-398-4022.
Sir, what would you do without glass?
Well, I'd be picking a lot more bugs out of my teeth.
And you, ma'am?
I'd be able to walk around naked all day. Woo!
What do you like most about glass?
I like how, you can see through it.
And you?
I like how it holds beer.
But, as everyone knows, glass breaks. And when it does, call Shock Glass at 720-266-4914. They're the insurance specialist and will handle all the paperwork for you. Home, auto, or commercial. When glass breaks, think Shock Glass at 720-266-4914.
They can say yes when others say no. And as a direct lender, they can close your loan in as little as a week. They've got $25 million dedicated to the program. It's not going to last long, so call right now. 5.75% rate with only 5.99 APR and 6 months with no payment, and it isn't going to last long, so you can't wait. You got to call on this. 303-423-7171. That's 303-423-7171. That's 303-423-7171.
Hi, I'm Stephen C. Ludwig, candidate for the University of Colorado Board of Regents at Large. And I'm proud to say, I'm the only progressive in this race. You know, this campaign for University of Colorado Regent isn't about a football team. It's not about a controversial professor or even one college campus. It's really about the future of our state. People always ask me, Stephen Ludwig, why should I care about the Regents race? Well, that's simple. Because the Regents impact you, your kids, and your friends through job creation health care, and public education. Now, you might be wondering why vote for me, Stephen C. Ludwig, for regent. Well, here's what I stand for. Affordable tuition. You and your family need to know that you can afford to attend college. Ensuring CU remains an economic development driver for Colorado, and working with K-12 to help solve the high school dropout crisis. Colorado can't thrive if we are not getting all the talented students we can into college. I'm Stephen C. Ludwig, candidate for the University of Colorado Board of Regents, and I approve this message.
This is Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Time.
Good morning, 6:34, 34 minutes away from 6 o'clock. High today, 43, mostly cloudy with flurries, slippery out there. Please be careful. Coming up at 7 o'clock, former U.N. weapons inspector Scott Ritter will be with us. We'll talk to him about Iran and our intentions there. 303-713-7600. Right now we're talking about Christianity and about the idea of separation of church and state, and that if you go after or make any statements or say anything about those folks who you consider to be dead wrong and part of the radical Christian right, then you end up getting attacked as being somebody who goes after all Christians. Let's go to Steve in the Highlands Ranch. Steve, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
How you doing this morning, Jay?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Good. Hey, I'm a conservative, although I'm not a conservative because of religion. But I think the issue is, what I see and hear anyway, is those on the left, it seems like when I listen to either Air America or I'm reading blogs, you would think that guys like James Dobson and issues like gay marriage are a bigger threat to this country than those like Osama bin Laden who wish to kill us because of our religious beliefs. And I think that that's why you have people who believe that you're attacking Christianity. It's all a matter of the amount of time that's spent on the issue from people on the left in this country versus, you know, the types of people that we see every single day in the world right now that are actually out killing people. I heard yesterday afternoon when I was driving home, Randy Rhodes was talking to somebody, I don't remember who it was, and she actually claimed that the Bush administration, because of their Christian beliefs, have told people, if you don't believe the way we do, we're going to kill you. And I think that that's what it all boils down to.
Well, she's got it partly right there, but she's also got it partly wrong. Actually, the doctrine is this. Here's the doctrine, as pointed out in Ron Suskind's book, which most Americans have not read, and it's a shame because every American should read it. The doctrine is this. If you are a state or non-state actor that does not adhere to what we say, because we are this world's last standing superpower, then what we will do is we will punish you. And that punishment can come in many forms, starting with military intervention all the way down to sanctions or other things. And that's the doctrine of people like Dick Cheney and George W. Bush and others. Now, I don't know that they think that if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, that we're going to eliminate you. I've never heard that before. I have heard what I just told you, and I've read it in a couple of places, and it's come from administration writings. That's one. Now, two, about the whole thing about gays and lesbians and about all of and about separation of church and state and about that. Terrorism and the threat of terrorism, and terrorism is a tactic, and the threat of that is very, 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 very important. I don't think anybody disputes that. But I think also, in this country the way it is, and the way it has been, and the way its history points, that we have a terrible habit here of getting up in the morning and assuming that the civil liberties that we possess are safe, and that nothing is going to touch those civil liberties. And the civil liberties that you possess, and the things that are guaranteed you under the Bill of Rights, and are guaranteed you under the Constitution of the United States, are not safe. They're never safe. And you have to stand up, and you have to protect them. You have to stand up, and you have to speak out about them. And you also have to stand up, and you also have to speak out about social ills and about things that you feel are inherently unfair and morally wrong. And I think that's where you find a lot of the other discussions about civil liberties, where you find a lot of the other discussions about gays and lesbians, where you find a lot of the other discussions on the left coming from. But you know what? Nobody is more focused on gays and lesbians. Nobody's more focused on sinners. Nobody's more focused on sodomites than the religious right. That's all they ever talk about.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. And from my perspective, Jay, so be it. I mean, they're allowed to pick up whatever cross they want to pick up and carry it wherever they want to carry it, as far as I'm concerned. But my issue is, when I constantly hear about this, of course I'm going to assume that those on the left look at guys like Falwell or Dobson or, you know, whomever the person of topic is, as more of a threat. And, you know, it's just like a couple of weeks ago when Ahmadinejad was in at the UN, and I was thinking as I was listening to this guy proselytize up at the podium, and I was thinking, you know, here's a guy who is really talking about what those on the left talk about in this country, but I knew I wasn't going to hear anybody say, oh, my God, this is a guy who is truly saying, with my religion, I'm going to wipe out those that disagree with my religion, and I'm not going to do it through legislation. I'm not going to do it through sanctions. I'm going to actually kill you. And on the issue you talk about with the United States, with Bush and Cheney and, you know, us punishing, look, Jay, I understand what you're saying, but, I mean, you can't make that argument and just say Bush and Cheney, because the United States, since the end of World War II probably, has been, if nothing else, at least the co-police in the world. I mean, at one point the Soviets had their sphere of influence, and we had ours. The fact is, we're a superpower, and that's the way that it's going to work. And what it seems to me like is, look, you know, we can argue about Iraq, but the same thing was occurring when we were in Kosovo. We were the world's police there. The same thing is going on right now with North Korea. Look, we're not always going to be right, but the fact still remains, we're going to do what's in our best interest, just like every other country in the world does what's in their best interest.
Yeah, except you're leaving out one important point here. No administration prior to this one has ever had a preemptive strike policy put down in writing and announced to the world.
Jay, but here's the thing that I don't think a lot of you guys understand. For many of us, we don't have a problem with that. For many of us, we say, you know what? I would rather strike them before they strike.
Well, okay, then what ends up happening is, but see where this leads? Okay, you may not have a problem with it, and I do have a problem with it, because here's where it leads. Let me tell you where it leads. It leads to Iraq. It leads to ratcheting up tension with North Korea. It leads to ratcheting up tension with Iran. It does not solve the world's problems, and the idea that you can go to any country you choose that you don't particularly like, and when I mean you, I don't mean you personally, I'm talking about the administration, that they don't particularly like, and that they can give, you know, force them to accept at the barrel of a gun the American way of life, and also the idea of quote-unquote democracy and freedom. It hasn't worked. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked now. It did not work in Vietnam. You know, the British tried it in Iraq in the 20s and couldn't make it fly.
Well, hang on. I don't disagree, Jay. It's a difficult situation, but let's not say it doesn't work. It worked very well in
Japan. It's not working now. Where has it worked?
Japan. And Japan, to me, is, if you look at pre-World War II Japan, it was obviously not fundamentalist in religion, but it was very, very it was very similar to the fanaticism we see in the Middle East right now.
But Japan was not, we were not trying to colonialize Japan, and Japan was not a third world country. Japan was an industrialized power that took on other industrialized powers.
I agree.
I'm talking about when you end up in a situation of going to a third world country and you end up trying to take on that country with a conventional military army against a guerrilla and resistance movement that in the past it has been extremely hard to do, and that it hardly ever works. And the idea that you turn to another sovereign nation with a first strike pledge and say, I don't particularly care for what you're doing, I don't particularly care what you've got going on, I want you to either stop it or I'm going to punish you, is that leads to absolute complete disaster, both morally and financially and in every other way. And
Let me ask you a quick question then, Jay, because it's obviously one of the hot topics right now. I don't know that North Korea is going to be a bigger issue, but Iran. So what do you think we should do? Because honest to God, Jay, I have an open mind to it, but I'll tell you, I'm pretty well convinced that Iran is going to have nuclear weapons if military action isn't used. I mean, are we as a society willing...
What military action are we going to use? Where are we going to get the... First of all, how are we going to use military action? That's number one. Number two, you want to put the 140,000 troops that are sitting on the ground, that's stuck in Iraq, you want to put them at greater peril? Because that's what you're going to do if you try to use military might towards the Iranians.
Well, it's something that I'm asking you. Are you comfortable letting Ahmadinejad get nuclear weapons?
I'm not comfortable with it, but I'll tell you one thing. I would be a hell of a lot more comfortable if this administration would sit down and talk to them one-on-one and sit down and try to work this thing through the best way possible rather than having axis of evil speeches and ratcheting up the tension.
Okay, fair enough, Jay, but what exactly are you going to say to a man who has already said that the exchange of nuclear weapons with Israel is okay with him because he can kill all of the Jews, and if they annihilate Iran, they can only kill 7% of the Muslims. How are you going to discuss this with this guy?
How you're going to discuss it is you're going to sit down and open up the discussions and realize that much of what he says on the public stage is for domestic consumption because he and the ruling religious order there right now has a big problem. And the big problem is that they cannot deliver to the young populace the reforms and also the things that they promised in the election campaign.
So
what you're going to do is you're going to sit down and find out what's really, really, really what's on their minds. There is no other choice. We have no other choice.
And, Jay, what is really on his mind is he really believes that if he starts a global world war, that the Mahdi is going to come back.
If he really believes that, and if that's what he wants to push, then I would remind him that his life as he knows it and that the life of Tehran as they know it will cease to exist if he picks anything.
And I don't think that he cares, Jay. See right now with suicide bombers.
But you give me all of this, but what would be your solution? To go in there and have a preemptive strike? Then look what it does. It destabilizes the entire region even more. The Iraqis start to cause trouble for the American troops that are already in Iraq, which are stuck there. So you got 140,000 troops in a shooting gallery.
Right.
You can't. You know what? Here's the problem. Here's the problem. I assume you voted for George W. Bush. Am I right?
I did, yes.
Okay. The guy you voted for and the plan that you accepted and the plan that you endorsed, and I think you still endorse it somewhat today,
of us
being in Iraq. All right, let me tell you what it's done. We cannot deal with Iran through any position of strength because we are tied down in Iraq and bogged down and we are losing over there. We cannot deal with the North Koreans out of any position of strength because we are tied down, bogged down in Iraq.
I don't agree with that on North Korea.
Oh, okay. Well, then, you know what? Tell me. Well, see, we're running out of time here. But I would ask you, how do you think you're going to deal with North Korea? They got a million-man army. How are you going to take them on?
Mutually assured destruction. I don't think that...
Oh, nuclear war. That'll get it.
No. No more than we were going to have a nuclear war with the Soviets. But the North Koreans, on the other hand, I do think that Kim Jong-il values his life. And I do think he understands that if he launches a nuclear attack, we would annihilate him.
How are you going to get that message to him?
I think he already knows it.
No, apparently he doesn't. He's getting ready for a second nuclear attack.
He's
ready for a second nuclear test. How do you get the message to him?
Well, I think that he's rattling his saber right now.
No, they're preparing for a second nuclear test. How do you get the message to him? Very simple, quick question.
Jay, I don't think that he doesn't already know it.
You know what? You can sit there and be in denial, and it's
hang
okay.
On, Jay.
But he's getting ready to test another nuclear bomb. How do you get the message to him, the mutually assured destructive message? How do you get it to him?
He knows we're not going to.
Well,
him
you know what? You know what?
Nuclear weapon.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I really disagree with you. How you get it to him is you got to sit down and you got to tell him. Thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate
right,
the dialogue. 6:49, it's 11 minutes away from 7. Traffic now with Gina.
Thanks, Jay, but it looks like it's going to be a pretty nasty ride, so give yourself plenty of extra time. We've got a number of problems here in town. We have two crashes on northbound I-25, one that sits under E-470. It was blocking the right lane. Brand new one, northbound 25 at 144th. Of course, we have all the normal buildup you're going to have to deal with, including all of these problems throughout the metro area. Of course, out of the city, we have a shutdown of I-76 at the Morgan County line due to hazardous driving conditions. Highway 58 was a problem getting onto I-70. We had a plow truck collision there. We got a couple of miles of backup. You could use McIntyre Road to get around it to 32nd and back onto the interstate. Weather today, light snow showers early, afternoon clearing, cold 38, currently 23 degrees. I'm Gina Michaels, AM760, Progressive Talk.
Whether your child needs to catch up, keep up, or get ahead in school, Sylvan Learning Center can help with.
I'm Mike Shanahan of the Denver Broncos. Some things I keep secret, like the running back rotation. Other things I share. For mortgages, go see my friends in American Financing.
Thanks, Coach. This is Damian Maldonado, founder of American Financing. We're locally owned and operated. We have no commission loan officers, so our only job is to get you the best loan possible.
Damian, tell us about the Magic Mortgage.
The Magic Mortgage lets you select the payment that's best for your budget. You can choose a regular payment, interest only, or convert it to a 15-year loan without requalifying. You can change your monthly payment any month or every month. Whether you need a refi or a new home loan, we have the widest range of products.
So you make the call. Tell them Mike Shanahan sent you, and your appraisal's free. Make the right move. Call my team of experts at American Financing.
We're redefining how home mortgages are done. Call us now at 303-695-7000. That's 695-7000. Or on the net at AmericanFinancing.net.
The Progressive Talk. Fall is definitely here, and if you look outside now, it looks more like winter. Leaves are falling, the nights are getting colder, there's snow on the ground, and you know that you always say, man, isn't this great sleeping weather? Well, it certainly is, but I know I can sleep even better all year long on my bed, the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort. See, with the Sleep Number bed, I personalize every night of sleep. That's right. All you got to do is simply set your Sleep Number, and your mattress will be as firm or as soft as you and your body need it to be to get more of that deep, restorative sleep you need to take on the world. Visit a Select Comfort store today and find out your Sleep Number and see what a difference this personalized comfort can make in your sleep. My Sleep Number is anywhere between 75 and 80, and I did not want to crawl out of the bed this morning, I have to tell you. I mean, it was just so nice. And this month you can join Select Comfort as they commemorate 5 years as the official bed provider for the Ronald McDonald House Charities. With 4,000 beds and over 7,800 pillows donated to Ronald McDonald Houses across North America, Select Comfort is helping families keep sleep a little bit better during this stressful time. And now you can help, too, because a portion of all the proceeds from the beds, pillows, and sheets sold in October will go to the Ronald McDonald House. Plus, Select Comfort has partnered with celebrities from TV, music, radio, all kinds of celebrities from TV, movies, music, sports, radio, to support the Ronald McDonald House. And you can even register to win an autographed signature bed by simply finding your Sleep Number at a Select Comfort store. And there are over 400 Select Comfort stores across the country. As a matter of fact, here, along the Front Range, we've got tons of stores, and there are stores located in 9 major malls, including Southwest Plaza, Flatiron Crossing, Foothills Mall, Colorado Mills, and Belmar Mall.
I don't think I'm being difficult. I just want my new home to say certain things about me. That's all. Like, what a fascinating person you are. Or, my, what a big kitchen island you have. Or maybe, look at that built-in tech area for the kids. You must be a wonderful mother. You know, that sort of thing.
Your home says a lot about you. Make sure it says all the right things. At John Lang Homes, we have a wide range of thoughtful new designs that will speak volumes about your practical nature and your good taste. They also say something important about us. Because we're a private company, we can choose to build a few hundred homes a year instead of a few thousand like larger publicly held builders, which means we can give more personal attention to you.
If you want to move soon, we have some very smart choices for you. Come see us in Stapleton, Brighton, and Erie, where we have new homes ready for move-in. To learn more, visit us at johnlanghomes.com. That's Lang, spelled L-A-I-N-G.
This is Randy Rhodes, and I'm coming up this afternoon. And right now, you got Jay Marvin right here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
This show is streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, not the show, because I'm not on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but this radio station is streaming 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. AM760.net, you can also instant message me there as well. High today, 43, mostly cloudy with flurries. AM760, Progressive Talk, you're on your way to work. Please be extremely careful. I got into a whole thing about foreign policy with the last guy, and I'm glad he called in. Because all points of view are welcome here, but we started up the discussion talking about how do you delineate hard right-wing Christians, authoritarian Christians, as I call them, without having people level statements to you about you're attacking the entire religion, which is what I get all the time when I get into this. Let's go to Andy in Aurora. Andy, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay. We love your passion.
Thank you.
Hey, I can't wait for the election. I'm calling it the Air America election. If the Dems do not take the House, there will not be an Air America radio station in 2008. That's my prediction.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, you do never know, but that's my prediction. But I didn't call about that. I called about the gay marriage thing. And I've got some Republican friends that are claiming that if you support gay marriage, you support terrorism. And their logic is along this line. They say throughout the Middle East, homosexuality is illegal. In Iran, it's punished by death, punishment by death in Iran alone. And saying that the terrorists are looking at Americans saying, look at these immoral, you know, SOBs, they want to... Not only is homosexuality not illegal, but they want to make it normal by making gay marriage. You see their point?
Well, yeah, but my rebuttal to that would be I don't really give a damn what they think in Tehran. I don't really care what they think in Damascus. All I care about is if we can get along on the small
along with them,
on
the
small planet called the world, and they're not in a position to dictate domestic policy and to dictate the use of the Constitution of the United States within the borders of this country.
So you think we can get along with people that kill homosexuals?
Yeah, because I don't think everybody believes that.
Well, they do in Iran.
But how do you know? Have you taken a poll?
No, it's not a poll. It's the law.
Well, what, do you think that the government is totally representative of the people who are living there?
No, but I'm just saying it's the law.
No, but I mean,
friend.
So, no, yeah, but no, wait a minute. Think that through. Do you think... That, and there are a lot of harsh laws there. Do you think that those laws are representative of the people who are living in that country?
Well, I don't know about that.
Well,
I don't
try,
know because I don't have a poll, but
well,
I will say this.
Maybe you should try doing something like reading about the country and seeing that the majority of their population
is young
and that they do not agree with the strict religious theocracy that has been laid on them. They don't like it.
Well, hey, I've got an idea to how to solve Iran. And I say we use the Bill Clinton method. We'll send Jimmy Carter and Madeleine Albright over there, and we'll give them nuclear technology, just like we did in Korea, and we'll get a piece of paper signing saying, we'll never build a nuclear bomb. That should be our Iran policy.
Where are you saying that we did that in Korea?
You did that in 1994. Jimmy Carter and Madeleine Albright gave nuclear technology.
Yeah, they gave them light water reactors, which there were plenty of Republicans who signed onto it. And Donald Rumsfeld was on the board of the company that sold them that stuff. But where they got the technology and the know-how to make weapons was not from the United States. It was from A.Q. Khan of Pakistan. Do a little reading. Do a little reading on Iran. Do a little reading on Pakistan. Do a little reading on world history, and maybe you'll feel a little bit better. Okay, Scott Ritter coming up on about Iran next here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Congress is out of control. Corruption, bribery, the Iraq mess, cuts to veterans' benefits. Now a congressman preying on 16-year-old boys. This is Marilyn Musgrave's Congress. Musgrave, linked to the biggest scandals and name one of the 13 most corrupt members of Congress. Now when the politicians sweep the Mark Foley congressional page scandal under the rug, Marilyn Musgrave is silent. We need change. We need a principled leader who will stand up to powerful politicians. Angie Piccioni.
I say enough is enough. Marilyn Musgrave is using every trick in the book to distract you from the real issues. She's attacked me on a 15-year-old bankruptcy, but her big spending is bankrupting America. Marilyn attacked my personal finances, but voted to raise her own pay. I passed tough immigration laws. What has she done? Cut border patrols. I'm Angie Piccioni, and I approve this message because if Marilyn Musgrave keeps lying about my record, I'll keep telling the truth about hers.
Paid for by Angie Piccioni for Congress.
Progressive traffic and your forecast coming up after noon on AM 760 Progressive Talk. KKZN Thornton, Denver Boulder. And on AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. At this rate, October could become the deadliest month so far for American troops in Iraq. 9 soldiers and a Marine have been killed in the latest violence, pushing the total for the month to 69 deaths. Over the weekend, sectarian bloodshed escalated in the town of Balad, north of Baghdad. CBS's Laura Logan tells us why.
With no U.S. troops present because they turned the town over to Iraqi forces last month, Shiite militiamen were free to hunt down Sunnis to kill. 5 days of bloodletting left close to 100 people dead. Bodies piled on top of each other filled the local morgue.
Here at home, 49 million retired and disabled Americans will get a 3.3% bump in Social Security payments come January. The increase is based on the Consumer Price Index for the past 12 months. The latest CPI figures show a sharp 0.5% drop last month thanks to plunging gasoline prices. Another government report shows a strong gain in new home building. The news is pushing futures prices higher ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. S&P futures are up 5.5 points. It's assignment Tokyo for Secretary of State Rice. She's asking Japanese leaders to help carry out U.N. sanctions against North Korea.
The United States has no desire to escalate this crisis. In fact, we would like to see it de-escalate.
But that may not happen right away. North Korea is believed to be getting ready for at least one more nuclear test. The House committee that's investigating ex-Congressman Mark Foley's inappropriate conduct toward House pages is set to hear from another important witness. Louisiana Republican Rodney Alexander sponsored a page who received email from Foley. Foley is promising to name the priest who allegedly abused him when he was a boy. Mary Rose Augusta with the Miami Archdiocese said it's the least he could do.
We need to know the person. I mean, is it fair to say it's a Roman Catholic priest? Well, you know, there are hundreds of Roman Catholic priests here in South Florida. That's not really fair.
His lawyer insists Foley didn't make up the story to deflect criticism. You might think children who say they like math would be good at it, but are they? Now, live to CBS's Jim Shenefee.
Well, if you hate math, Frank, that's good, at least according to a Brookings Institution study. It found that the more students complained about math, the better they did. Study author Tom Lovelace suspects that kids who like math may be getting a sugar coating from teachers.
Are they targeting the content of mathematics? Is that what they're about? Or are they about the happiness factor and making kids enjoy school? And, you know, are they simply sound? Do they get to the mathematics and nothing but the mathematics?
Lovelace says when it comes to math, happiness just doesn't add up.
He was one of the best. CBS News correspondent Christopher Glenn died yesterday of cancer less than a year after retiring from the World News Roundup. He was 68. Through the years, Chris covered the space program, politics, just about every big story. But a generation that grew up in the 1970s will remember him for a children's program called In the News.
This week, four former top Nixon associates learn how long they may have to spend in prison.
This is CBS News.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover Business Card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So, you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
I'm going to say 8 words you won't believe. Buying a used car should not be painful. Here's 4 words that prove it. Honda-certified used cars. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get APR financing as low as 2.9% on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Made you a believer, didn't I? Honda-certified used cars. They're the next best thing to new.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Call the Mortgage Store today at 303-423-7171.
I'm Corey Lopez with an AM 760 local news update now. No snow on the roadways in the metro area, but it's still slick in spots. Trouble on 6th Avenue. Stop and go between Wadsworth and Indiana on the northeastern plains. I-76 closed near the Morgan County line. Full details on your Denver Boulder Drive, less than a minute away in traffic. As you get farther south, more snow in Colorado Springs.
In the northern part of the city, we get about 7 inches of snow, and it's the roads are snowy and icy.
A number of Colorado Springs area schools closed or operating on a delayed schedule, including Lewis Palmer District 38 and Academy District 20, both of which opening 2 hours later. Police in Boulder plan to increase their presence at Fairview High School today, that following the discovery of threatening graffiti in a school bathroom. They won't say what the graffiti is, but they're watching. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Corey Lopez. Now Gina Michaels with AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Thanks, Corey. Well, it looks like it'll definitely be a tougher ride than we thought. Still dealing with northbound 25 delays at 104th, possibly there under E-470. Of course, southbound 25 really bogged down now from 104th to 84th as usual, again at I-70 due to a crash. Westbound 6th at Indiana shut down due to that wreck, and now it's affecting the eastbound lanes. We've got at least two lanes blocked from that activity. Traffic is being detoured at Sims. Outside the city, I-76 remains closed at the Morgan County line, as is Highway 58 at I-70 due to a snowplow problem. You could use McIntyre to 32nd to get around it. Security wait time at DIA, 5 minutes. Weather today, light snow showers early. Afternoon clearing but cold, 38 degrees. Currently 23. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
To get strength and security mile after mile, ask about Michelin light truck or SUV tires at Discount Tire. Purchase your next set of Michelin tires today at Discount Tire and know you're getting strength and security mile after mile.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get the Works Fuel Saver Package on us. That's a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, and more. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30:06.
This is the Jay Marvin Show. Jay Marvin on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Could be wrong. I could be right. Could be wrong. I could be wrong. I could be right. I could be black. I could be white. I could be right. I could be wrong. I could be white. I could be black.
Good morning. 7:07, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. High today, 43, mostly cloudy with flurries. If you're out there driving, be extremely careful. It's wet, and there are patches of ice out there. Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector, Scott Ritter is our guest. He's the author of several books, including Iraq Confidential, The Untold Story of America's Intelligence Conspiracy, and his latest called Target Iran, The Truth About the White House's Plans for Regime Change. The book offers Ritter's national intelligence assessment of the Iranian problem, and he examines the Bush administration's regime change policy and the potential of Iran to threaten U.S. national security interests. And Mr. Ritter, welcome, and thank you for being on the program.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We had retired Colonel Sam Gardner on here not too long ago. He said that he believes that he has heard from people that this administration is hell-bent on attacking Iran. What would be your response to that?
I would agree. I mean, I think we need to make it a little bit more focused. They're not going to attack Iran just for the sake of attacking Iran. There's a policy of regime change that the Bush administration has embraced and has endorsed as the legitimate means to go forward in addressing problems
such as Iran, and the notion of the unilateral application of military force, preemptive war, so to speak, has been endorsed as the mechanism to achieve regime change. So I would say that the Bush administration, and President Bush and his advisors have said this, Iran is not a problem they want to leave to the next administration, which means they want to resolve this, wrap this thing up in the next 2 years. And you're not going to get regime change through negotiation. You're only going to get regime change if you catastrophically disrupt the system of governance in Iran, and that can only be done through military action. So, yeah, I agree that the Bush administration is hell-bent on going to war with Iran.
How close do you think we are to that?
Well, again, when you look at the whole spectrum of things that come into play here, one of the most important is intent. There's 100% intent on the part of the Bush administration to remove the Iranian regime. So that means that we're dangerously close to the precipice. We have intent. Now we have to have the means to accomplish this. They haven't yet achieved the means, either diplomatically abroad, politically here at home, or militarily. They haven't assembled the appropriate plan and combined it with the appropriate resources. But they're working towards that because they have the intent. If the system of governance here in America is left after November without the means to hold in check this rush to war, I think that a window of opportunity for military action opens in March 2007. It's a window that will close relatively quickly by June 2007, and that window will be tempting for the Bush administration to initiate military action. So, we could be several months away from a major military conflict with Iran.
If we see a dramatic change in the midterm elections and, say, for instance, the Democrats were to get control of the House, or the Democrats were to get control of the Senate, or maybe the Democrats were to be able to get control of both, would then all bets be off?
No, all bets would not be off, because we need to recognize that this is not a Republican or Democratic problem. Yes, we have a Republican leadership. Yes, we have Republican control of the House and the Senate, which has done away with the systems of checks and balances that normally apply when it comes to oversight of national security policy and foreign policy. But on Iran, the Democrats have yet to separate themselves in any meaningful fashion from the Republicans. They refuse to engage in a realistic discussion of Iran. They find it all too easy to slip in right next to the Republicans and scream about Ahmadinejad's irresponsible statements. They continue to articulate the Iranian nuclear program as a nuclear weapons program, and they continue to accept at face value the Bush administration's doctrine of the national security strategy, which speaks of regional transformation in the Middle East. So I'm concerned that even if the Democrats take control of the House and the Senate, that in the case of Iran, we might not see a major deviation. But what I will say is this: with Democrats in control of the various oversight committees, you might see tougher questioning, and through that process of questioning, the administration might not be able to defend its policy as articulately as it has been with a Republican-controlled Congress, and therefore open up the door for, surprise, surprise, that tough follow-on question from a representative that was lacking in Iraq. In Iraq, they asked questions, they threw out that softball, and the administration knocked them over the center field fence. Here, the Democrats might actually throw a screwball or a fastball or a nice little slider, and you get a swing and a miss. Now you got to throw a second pitch. That hasn't happened. And maybe in the process of that, the administration might actually strike out in front of Congress. And if they strike out and can't articulate, it now makes it difficult for Congress to rubber stamp a war. So I'm hopeful that a Democrat-controlled Congress will create friction that can slow down and perhaps stop this war. But it's not a guarantee.
7:13, 13 minutes after 7 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Scott Ritter is on the line with us. His new book, Target Iran, The Truth About the White House Plans for Regime Change. You just got back from Iran. How long were you in Iran?
I was in Iran for a week. It wasn't a long trip, but You know, and I don't pretend for a second it would be the ultimate expression of individual hubris to say, in that week I have learned everything there is to know about Iran. But it was definitely an eye-opening trip.
And are we getting the full picture here of what Iran is really like?
You know, I went into this trip, you know, having not been to Iran, therefore having to rely upon, you know, what I've seen on TV and what I've read in the news. And I was expecting, you know, this very dark, morose Islamic Republic, police state, oppressive regime, etc. I got off the airplane, went through passport controls, and was introduced to an environment that was, A, free of any constraints. I didn't have, you know, I've been to Middle East dictatorships, not just Saddam Hussein's, and I know what it's like to walk around the capital city of a nation and have the goon squads following you. There weren't any goon squads. I had total freedom of movement. The other thing is, when you're dealing with an oppressive regime, you know, things like cell phones, the internet, cable TV, these don't exist. These guys are watching BBC International. These guys are watching CNN. They all have cell phones. They're text messaging each other. They're all on the internet. They're emailing. They're downloading from around the world information, and they're freely exchanging it with one another. If you go into a restaurant and a cafe, there's vibrant discussions. And let me point out, this is a very modern, westernized, pro-Western society. You could travel around Tehran, and you might be able to find three or four places where they have a Death to America, poster painted on the side of a wall. But dominating that is Samsung and, GE and all these other corporations that are advertising, because Iran is a modern Western capitalistic nation that very much wants to be in step with the rest of the Western world. And surprisingly, pro-American. I was an American. I'm obviously an American. And when they found out I was an American, without exception, people say, hey, thanks for coming to our country. We wish more Americans would come here. We have nothing against America. We want peace with America. We love America. We think you guys are great. We're not happy with what you're doing in Iraq, but we think you guys are great. So even though it was just a week-long visit, I would say that I've got a completely different perception of Iran than what you see on American TV.
Did you see any of Iran's nuclear facilities?
I drove past the facility called Natanz. I wasn't allowed to visit the facility. But I did hang out in a city called Kashan, which is about 60 kilometers south of, or 60 kilometers west of Natanz. This is where all of the nuclear scientists live. And I was there on the eve of the birthday of the 12th Imam, the biggest holiday in the Shia faith, and walked around these gardens, and I ran into a family of Iranians out celebrating. The guy was a nuclear engineer working at Natanz. I thought for sure the goon squads would swoop in and separate us, you know, because certainly a former intelligence officer can't sit there and talk with a uranium enrichment engineer. But we sat down, we had a talk, and, you know, this guy could be blowing smoke at me. Maybe it's a grand Iranian scheme to plant this family right there in a rose garden so I could talk to him. But, you know, he said things like, The inspectors have been throughout this facility. They know everything there is to know, and they also know we can't do this. We're not doing it right. Our equipment doesn't work. We have impurities in our feedstock. The centrifuges fly apart if we operate them for a sustained period of time. Why is because you guys know this. That was his question. You're sitting there saying that we're enriching uranium for weapons. Great. We can't even enrich it for civilian use. We can't even perfect this technology. Why are you talking about bombing us? And again, the media doesn't report that. You know, if I can go and find these guys, so can CNN, so can the New York Times. But they don't. They go in and they hunt down the story about Ahmadinejad's, you know, growth to power. They investigate. Was Ahmadinejad an assassin in Vienna? You know, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't care. We're talking about going to war, not because Ahmadinejad's a jerk. We're talking about going to war because Iran possesses a nuclear weapons program. That's what should be investigated, but no one's investigating it because to contradict the Bush administration on this issue leads one open to the charge of being sympathetic to, as the Bush administration said, the number one sponsor of terror in the world today. That's the Iranian government.
Yeah. 7:18, 18 minutes after 7 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Scott, hang on. We'll come back with part two, and I want to talk about Iran's president to you and some other things. The book is, Scott Ritter's book is Target Iran, The Truth About the White House's Plans for Regime Change. If you're missing any part of this, you can get it on podcast at am760.net. 7:18, 18 after 7. Let's check traffic now with Gina.
Thanks, Jay. Making for a tough ride this morning. Now watch out for new problems now on Highway 85 near Bromley. Looks like Flight to Life is being dispatched to a very serious crash there, so you could see some temporary backups as that lands in the area. I-25 still very heavy up north. Of course, we have the normal backups southbound through Thornton North Glen. We were dealing with a crash right at I-70, and we have big problems westbound 6th at Indiana. That was temporarily shut down due to a crash. Traffic is being detoured at Sims, so be aware of that. We've also got a couple of lane restrictions on the eastbound side slowing down your ride through there. Looks like I-76 at the Morgan County line, however, is back open. Weather outlook today, light snow showers early, afternoon clearing but cold, 38 degrees, currently 23. I'm Gina Michaels, AM760, Progressive Talk.
Arapahoe Basin is now open. Celebrate their 60th anniversary and one of the longest ski seasons in North America with season passes starting at only $229. For more information, call 1-888-ARAPAHOE or check out arapahoebasin.com.
If you thought you couldn't afford premium LASIK by Colorado's premier LASIK provider, your dreams of clear, natural vision are about to come true. Announcing Spivak Plus, Colorado's premier LASIK plan that gives you everything you ever wanted in a LASIK procedure at prices virtually everyone can afford. With Spivak Plus starting at only $9.95, we've got a LASIK plan for every budget. Call Spivak Vision Center today at 303-C2020. That's 303-C2020.
An election year message for the people of Colorado. Don't vote.
Don't vote.
Please don't vote.
Don't vote this November.
Do what's right and don't vote.
Really? Don't vote.
Do not vote.
That's right. Don't vote.
Until you know where the candidates stand on the issues.
Find out where the candidates for governor stand on issues like affordable utilities or the multi-state bulk prescription drug purchasing legislation that allows Colorado to combine its drug purchasing power with other states to ultimately make affordable prescription drugs available to those without insurance or Medicaid.
Make an informed decision this November.
Visit don'tvote.com or call 1-800-830-7844.
And get your AARP voter's guide.
Use your head and your heart.
And then do the right thing.
And vote.
Please vote.
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 Get out and vote.
Paid for by AARP.
I don't think I'm being difficult. I just want my new home to say certain things about me. That's all. Like, what a fascinating person you are. Or, my, what a big kitchen island you have. Or maybe, look at that built-in tech area for the kids. You must be a wonderful mother. You know, that sort of thing.
Your home says a lot about you. Make sure it says all the right things. At John Lang Homes, we have a wide range of thoughtful new designs that will speak volumes about your practical nature and your good taste. They also say something important about us. Because we're a private company, we can choose to build a few hundred homes a year instead of a few thousand like larger publicly held builders, which means we can give more personal attention to you. If you want to move soon, we have some very smart choices for you. Come see us in Stapleton, Brighton, and Erie, where we have new homes ready for move-in. To learn more, visit us at johnlanghomes.com. That's Lang, spelled L-A-I-N-G.
We've received some fantastic entries for the AM 760 Progressive Radio Star Contest.
Good morning, Denver.
Good day, fellow Americans.
Good day and welcome.
Just give me a call here.
But these aren't necessarily them.
I'm Blaine, and it's time to complain.
And thank you for tuning in to AM 760.
The top finalists will compete Sunday. Who will be the next Progressive Radio Star? Stay tuned to AM 760 Progressive Talk.
7:22, 22 minutes after 7 a.m., 760 Progressive Talk. High today, 43, mostly cloudy with flurries. Jay Marvin along with Scott Ritter. His new book is Target Iran. Most people in this country, Scott, assume we cannot deal in any way, shape, or form with the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad. What's your feeling about that?
Well, first of all, let's just start off with a couple things. Ahmadinejad has said some things that are reprehensible, especially what he said about the State of Israel and wiping it off the face of the earth. But let's not for one second, A, believe that Ahmadinejad is some sort of thuggish dupe. He's an academic. He's actually very smart, very articulate, and therefore we need to treat him with a little bit of respect. That doesn't mean we love him, but we shouldn't just push him off into a corner and say this man's a lunatic fringe and don't listen to a word he says. The other thing we need to realize is that while we focus on his words, I'd ask everybody to look at his finger. And why is it important to look at his finger? Because there's no button around there for him to push. He doesn't control the police. He doesn't control the military. He doesn't control the foreign policy of Iran. He doesn't control the nuclear program. If you look at the constitution of Iran, you'll see that the president is almost a figurehead position with very little power. He can sign legislation put forward by the parliament. He can sign treaties negotiated by the national security staff, but he has no power. The power resides with the supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei. The power resides with the Guardian Council, this group of clerics and jurists who truly govern Iran, determine the direction they go. These are the people that have the power. So while we're focused on this poster boy for demonization called Ahmadinejad, we're ignoring the genuine power brokers. And it's the genuine power brokers who in 2003 reached out to the Bush administration via the Swiss embassy to send a message that said, A, they would like to enter into one-on-one negotiations to normalize relations with the United States, negotiate a peace treaty with Israel, inclusive of a settlement of the Hezbollah issue in southern Lebanon, and put the nuclear weapons or put the nuclear program on the table. I mean, they're willing to say, hey, we'll drop this if you guys want to, you know, talk to us and show us an alternative route. This would be rejected by the Bush administration because to sit down with the Iranians thus would legitimize a theocracy the Bush administration has forsworn to remove from power.
So there's no way the current administration is ever going to negotiate with these guys.
Well, I wouldn't say there's no way. Right now, they have not they have not put that on the table. They claim that they're, you know, we are engaging in diplomacy, that we're working through our European allies and such. That's not diplomacy. Diplomacy is putting Condoleezza Rice on an airplane, flying her to Tehran, and sitting down with the genuine power brokers, the representatives of the Supreme Leader or the Supreme Leader himself. That's diplomacy. That's how you resolve this problem. And right now, that's something the Bush administration is not willing to engage in. And I find that disgusting because we're talking about the possibility, some would say the probability, of armed conflict with Iran. And as an American, as a veteran, as a former Marine, I have to tell you that if we're talking about putting boots on the ground or boys in the air in harm's way, we better exhaust every means short of war to resolve this problem. And if the president is rejecting a genuine diplomatic approach, then he's disrespecting the men and women who serve him as commander-in-chief in the armed forces.
But that's what it seems like he's doing, and it seems like he's hell-bent on us going at it with Iran.
Absolutely. And then the question is, why, therefore, do we do nothing about it? Why is Congress complicit? Why is Congress silent? Remember, Congress is constitutionally mandated to conduct oversight of America's national security and foreign policy, and yet nothing is happening. And as a conservative Republican myself, I blame the Republican Party, because Republicans control the House, control the Senate, control the White House, and instead of perfecting the systems of checks and balances that should exist, what we see is all they've done is lubricate a rubber stamp process for the White House. And that's why one of the most important battles that can be fought in the near term is the battle that will be fought at the election booth in November when America gets to go vote. And while I don't support the Democratic platform, I don't support many of the Democratic candidates, I'm going to vote Democrat across the board. Not because I think they're great people and they have great ideas, but I want them to create friction. I want there to be friction in Washington, D.C. I want to slow down this massive runaway train that's heading for conflict with Iran. And maybe, just maybe, if the Democrats can gain control of these oversight committees, they might ask a relevant question or two.
You think the public would, and we've got ships on the way to close to Iran, heading in that direction. Do you think the public would buy us getting involved in yet another conflict in the Middle East when we can't get our head above water in Iraq?
Well, unfortunately, they already have. They don't realize that they have. But every time the public nods their head compliantly when the president gets on CNN or C-SPAN or you know any one of these news outlets. And says that Iran is a state sponsor of terror. And everybody goes, yes, yes, they are, yes. Iran is the number one threat to America today, and everybody nods their head, yes. Iran is pursuing an irresponsible nuclear weapons program, and everybody nods their head, yes. Well, you've already allowed yourself to be intimidated by fiction into believing a threat exists. And if the president can come on and say, you know, we have worked with our European allies and we have exhausted diplomacy and there's no choice, the American people say, God, this stinks, but yeah, I guess there's no choice. When in fact there's nothing but choices out there if people would just engage their brains instead of being the compliant sheep we have become.
Scott Ritter, the book is Target Iran, The Truth About the White House's Plans for Regime Change. If I had to have you make a prediction, do you think we'll end up in an armed conflict with Iran? And if so, when?
Right now, and something has to change dramatically to stop this mad rush. But right now, the Bush administration made it clear, A, they want regime change in Iran, and B, they want to resolve this thing before Bush leaves office, which means it's going to happen sooner rather than later because a lame duck presidency, things just get complicated down the road. I see a window of opportunity opening in March 2007. That's based upon my assessment that nothing's going to happen before the election, and then after the election there's going to be a mad rush to secure the diplomatic agreements to get the basing rights that we need to sustain an aerial strike in a potential ground invasion. There has to be domestic political preparation at home where he has to go to Congress, and we have to get the military postured. Sending one carrier battle group to the Middle East doesn't do it. You're going to need to send them all, and that hasn't happened yet. But it can happen. The window opens in March, and like a football team, if you train, but if you don't play the game, you lose your ability to play. You know, your skill sets go down. It opens in March. The window shuts in June. And if they don't act by June, then they got to start the process all over again. And again, that's something a lame duck president doesn't want because Congress might wake up to the fact that maybe they can stop this war. So I'm very fearful of the March to June 2007 time frame because I believe that's when the Bush administration is looking to start a military conflict with Iran.
All right, Scott Ritter, real pleasure to have you on. A great book. Thank you so much for being on the program, and I hope to have you on again.
Thanks for having me, sir.
All right. Scott Ritter, the book is Target Iran, The Truth About the White House's Plans for Regime Change. 7:30 at AM 760 Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. A look at traffic. And then we've got former Florida Senator Bob Graham coming up to talk about North Korea. Gina, what's the traffic look like?
Well, Jay, we've had a lot of problems, most of them on the outskirts of town, but things are starting to look up. The wreck was cleared, and westbound 6th at Indiana back open. I-76 also open at the Morgan County line, and your travels into downtown on I-25 actually looking pretty good right now. We had a couple of problems in Boulder, Broadway at Baseline, Broadway at Dartmouth, eastbound Highway 85 still blocked by a bad crash at Bromley. Weather today, light snow showers early, afternoon clearing, cold, 38, currently 24 degrees. I'm Gina Michaels, AM760, Progressive Talk.
EU School of Professionalism and Continuing Studies offers undergraduate completion and master's degrees for working professionals, online or evenings. Where you earn your degree does matter. Universitycollege.du.edu.
AM 760 with Jay Marvin, mornings at 6. At 10 a.m., it's Al Franken, Ed Schultz at 1, and Randy Rose at 4. Get the real story on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Just Brakes.
What does Just Brakes charge for a new brake pad?
Just Brakes safety experts will replace pads and shoes on all four wheels for just $99.88.
All four wheels?
Yes. Just Brakes will also machine rotors and drums and inspect the brake system for any other problems.
Just Brakes installs pads and shoes on all four wheels and machines rotors and drums for $99.88. You are the brake safety expert. Why do you do it, Just Brakes?
At Just Brakes, we really do.
Additional parts or services cost more. Offer good on most cars and light trucks.
Learn anything and everything you ever wanted to know about home financing with mortgage expert Ken Michaels. Listen to Mortgage Makeovers, the talk show that guides you through the financial maze. Ken Michaels, the president of First Nationwide Lending, has over 20 years' experience in helping people with less than perfect credit. If you have loan issues or just want some free advice, tune in to Mortgage Makeovers live this Sunday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. and call in with your questions.
Hi, I'm Stephen C. Ludwig, candidate for the University of Colorado Board of Regents at Large. And I'm proud to say, I'm the only progressive in this race. You know, this campaign for University of Colorado Regent isn't about a football team. It's not about a controversial professor or even one college campus. It's really about the future of our state. People always ask me, Stephen Ludwig, why should I care about the Regents race? Well, that's simple. Because the Regents impact you, your kids, and your friends through job creation, healthcare, and public education. Now, you might be wondering why vote for me, Stephen C. Ludwig, for Regent. Well, here's what I stand for. Affordable tuition. You and your family need to know that you can afford to attend college. Ensuring CU remains an economic development driver for Colorado, and working with K-12 to help solve the high school dropout crisis. Colorado can't thrive if we are not getting all the talented students we can into college. I'm Stephen C. Ludwig, candidate for the University of Colorado Board of Regents, and I approve this message.
Are you looking for a career in sales? Comcast is looking for outside residential sales professionals. Join them Tuesday, October 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Radisson North in Thornton. That's the Greystone Castle on 120th Avenue. Comcast is an equal opportunity, affirmative action, drug-free workplace employer.
Don't procrastinate. Call the Mortgage Store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and they're open evenings and weekends. The Mortgage Store, 303-423-7171.
Randy Rhodes, today at 4. Right now, Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 7:34. It's 34 minutes past the hour. High today, 43. Mostly cloudy with flurries. Be careful out there. The roads are slick, and you got to bundle up. We're going to talk to my former senator. He was my senator when I lived in Florida. A man who I respect a great deal. Former senator, Florida Senator Bob Graham. He was also the governor of Florida too, by the way. And we're going to talk to him about North Korea. He also authored Intelligence Matters, the CIA, the FBI, Saudi Arabia, and the failure of the American War on Terror. And Senator, good morning, and welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jay. Jay, where did you live in Florida?
Tampa, St. Petersburg.
Great.
I did.
Well, I hope you got some sand in your shoes, and we'll encourage other Coloradans to come and visit us.
It was a great place, and I worked I worked there at WFLA. I'm sure you're familiar with that radio station. All right, here we sit trying to work something out here in sanctions and in dealing with North Korea, and now there are stories in the news that North Korea may be ramping up for, again, yet another nuclear test. What's your take on this, and how in the world are we going to stop this unstable regime with their nuclear weapons?
Well, it's a very, very difficult problem, and we've made it more difficult in two of those ways. One is when the president identified North Korea, Iran, and Iraq as the axis of evil, we've taken a quite different approach to each of those three. In the case of Iraq, which is a country that had no nuclear weapons and had no ongoing programs to develop them, we invaded and have now participated in a five-year-old, very bloody war. In the case of Iran and North Korea, one of North Korea having the bomb and Iran having a program to get one, we've negotiated. Now, the signal that I think that would send to an intelligent dictator is that if you want to avoid being invaded by the U.S., the best way to do it is to get the bomb. And North Korea has now demonstrated once, and maybe will do so again, that it has the bomb. Second is we've outsourced our negotiation to the Chinese. So we sit at the six-party talks almost mute as we let the Chinese take the lead. Now, that's not a all bad thing, because China has the most leverage over Korea, but also they have almost the most leverage over us. We are required each week to go with a tin cup to Beijing to borrow billions of dollars in order to finance our burgeoning national debt, and we are dependent on China for a substantial amount of our economic activity. We don't have very much capability to push China because we are so indebted to them.
So if I put you in the driver's seat at 7:38, it's 38 minutes past the hour, we're talking to a former Senator Bob Graham, and you did want to run for the presidency, and if I put you in the driver's seat right now, and I said, okay, you're the problem solver, and we need for you to come in and use your expertise and your long history of dealing with this stuff and turning this around, what would be the first thing you would do in regards to North Korea?
Well, the first thing I would do is start dealing directly with North Korea. That's what they want, because what they really want is an agreement that the United States won't engage in regime change in North Korea, that we won't attempt to do to them what we did to Saddam Hussein. I think we could work out an agreement in which North Korea would commit to stopping its nuclear programs, international inspections, that any nuclear materials would be produced outside of North Korea for use in their commercial nuclear reactors, not produced domestically and therefore available for redirection to military purposes. There probably would be some other economic and food assistance involved in that package. And then what we would give to the North Koreans would be a commitment that we wouldn't invade them. I think that is the only set of factors that has a chance of leading to a step back of North Korea from its nuclear aspirations.
Do you think the current set of sanctions as they're laid out, and the Condoleezza Rice is now in Japan and making a trip to other countries to try to put the nuts and bolts of this together, she says, do you think it'll work?
I don't think it's sufficient, and one of the primary areas of insufficiency is the fact that it doesn't require inspection of all the cargo coming out of North Korea so that we will know whether ships or trucks or planes are being used to take clandestine items like nuclear material to folks like Osama bin Laden. I also think another change we need to make is at the United Nations. We have a very inept U.S. ambassador there who has had a long history of not being able to get very much accomplished and has just recently, within the last week, insulted the Russians, who with the Chinese are the two countries that we most need to be involved both in North Korea and Iran.
Yeah, John Bolton, there's no question about it. John Bolton is definitely... he's definitely bad news.
Well, and he sends such a bad signal, Jay. If you were a serious diplomat from another country and you see that this is the man that the United States has selected to be its representative, the signal I would think would be sent is that the United States is not very interested in what's happening in the United Nations and only uses the UN when it is for our benefit, largely beneficial for internal politics, not international diplomacy.
It does come off that way, though. It really does.
Well, it does, and it substantially hurts us. It contributes to the fact that, 77 countries voted for Venezuela to go on the Security Council, the fact that the U.S., popularity around the world is at an all-time low. This is John Bolton is just another part of contributing to our crashing international relations.
One last quick question here. I'm almost out of time. Was the Clinton approach to North Korea a failure?
No. If you define success and failure by end results, during the Clinton administration, there was no development of nuclear weapons by North Korea. There was at least non-confrontational relationship. Now, are the North Koreans people in whom you can invest your confidence that they're always going to treat you openly and honestly? No, but you can treat them as President Reagan used to say, you can trust but verify. And that was the Clinton policy for North Korea. And in terms of end results, it worked.
All right. Former Florida Senator Bob Graham, thank you so much for being on the program. And, boy, I'd like to have you on again to talk about a whole host of other things, including Iraq. So if you can make some time for us in the future, I'd love to have you come back.
Great. Jay, thank you very much. You come back to Florida, and I'll come back to Denver, okay?
Yeah. Hey, the door's open. Anytime you want to come, the door's open. You can have dinner at my house. We'd love to be able to sit around and pick your brain.
Okay. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Senator. There's Senator Bob Graham, marvelous guy. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Rand Beers, who is also knows a lot about this, about North Korea, and we'll talk to him and get his take on it. 7:43, 17 minutes in front of 8 o'clock here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. If you missed any of the Bob Graham interview, Senator Bob Graham interview, if you missed any of it, if you missed any of the Scott Ritter interview, you can get it all by going to am760.net. and downloading it in podcast, listen to it at your convenience. You just want to look at the 7 o'clock hour. Let's get a look at what the traffic's like during the 7 o'clock hour. Here's Gina.
Thanks, Jay. Well, we just have all of the normal delays now. Eastbound 270 cutting across Commerce City. I-70 getting very busy eastbound at Federal. And we have those normal delays southbound I-25 from 120th to 84th. Eastbound lanes of the Boulder Turnpike also starting to jam up from Sheridan to I-25. No problems along your westbound lanes. We do have a couple of problems in Boulder to watch out for. We had a wreck at Broadway at Baseline, another one at Broadway at Dartmouth. Still dealing with a pretty bad crash where they had to launch Flight to Life eastbound Highway 84. In Bromley. Weather today, light snow showers early, afternoon clearing, cold 38 degrees, currently 24. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Paula Roddins for Excellent Schools, Knowin' Amendment 39 wants voters to know teachers, school boards, PTA, and hardworking families oppose 39, a scheme from Washington special interest that ties the hands of school boards, hurts students, and rural communities. Vote no39.com.
On the next Ed Schultz Show.
Organizers of a Nevada ballot measure say that they want marijuana to be legal in the state of Nevada. We'll have that story. Also, Nick Lampson of Texas joins us to get an update on the race to replace Tom DeLay. Jack Cafferty of CNN is our guest to discuss the upcoming special on government waste. And also, Senator Dorgan from North Dakota joins us to talk about the latest issues of the people and handicapping the midterm elections.
Ed Schultz, today at 1 on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
High-Tech Import Automotive understands you want your car repaired quickly, you want it repaired right, and you want it done by experienced technicians who take pride in their work and their integrity. Call High-Tech Import Automotive in Lakewood at 303-988-2868. High-Tech specializes in Toyota, Lexus, Honda, Acura, and Nissan using genuine factory parts. Call 303-988-2868 and you'll get $20 off any service or repair job over $100. For work on your electrical, brakes, suspension, clutch, engine, or transmission, call High-Tech Import in Lakewood.
Only one person gets to be the most important person in a business. And in this business, that's Jan.
Jeez, I'm just an account manager.
You keep your big accounts happy.
Yeah.
Then you're the most important person in the business.
Fine.
That means she's got to be ready. And she is, with a platform built on Microsoft software.
Well, when I'm working with clients, I can get answers for them immediately from production, distribution, billing, anywhere.
It's an all-access pass.
It does keep my clients happy. We've got one of the highest retention rates in our industry.
Spoken like the most important person in the business, which you are. Until...
Until what?
Until a client calls Nancy, making Nancy the most important person in the business. Nancy, where are you going?
With the right software, all your people can be the most important person in the business. Find out how at Microsoft.com/people ready. Microsoft, software for the people-ready business.
7:47, it's 47 minutes past the hour here on AM 760. Progressive Talk, if you're a homeowner, here's an important offer that will save you a ton of money from the mortgage store. They have a new 6 months with no payment program, and I guarantee you're going to love this. They're going to combine 5.75% 30-year fixed loan with an exclusive 6 months with no payments plan. Adjustable rate mortgages go higher and higher. Credit card rates are astronomical. Get rid of all of these. Consolidate your bills into one low, low payment with no payments for the next 6 months. The Mortgage Store is an Inc. 500 company, and you can trust that you'll get the results because they can do it for you. They underwrite their own loans. They can say yes when others say no. And as a direct lender, they can close your loan in as little as a week. They've got 25 million dollars dedicated to this program, so it's not going to last long. So call right now, the 5.75% rate with only a 5.99 APR, and 6 months with no payments won't last long, so don't wait. Call now, 303-423-7171. That's 303-423-7171, 303-423-7171.
Hey, we're the Sloan Brothers from StartupNation.com. With the new Discover business card, Discover introduces the financial tools business owners need.
It gives you more control over the day-to-day expenses of running a business. The new card comes with the best rewards program in the industry, flexible payment options, and personalized customer service.
So where do you sign up? At discoverbiz.com/tools, or just call 1-888-DISCOVER. The Discover business card. It works.
Whether it's a double scoop of chocolate ice cream or a second hug from your little niece, two really is better than one. That's why Econolodge and Rodeway Inn Hotels are offering double stamps this fall with the Easy Choice Rewards program. That means free nights in half the time. So take a trip or two. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com for the best internet rate guaranteed. We'll see you there.
Earn two stamps per night for qualifying stays between 9-1 and 11-30-06. Maximum 10 stamps per stay. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
This is Ed Schultz. Keep it locked on to my buddy Jay Marvin, and then stick around for me from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 749. It's 49 minutes past the hour. High today, 43, mostly cloudy with flurries. It looks clear out there right now, though. It is a little icy out there, so be careful if you're driving. We're going to continue to talk about North Korea with Rand Beers. Rand Beers is an adjunct lecturer in public policy at Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government. After serving as a Marine officer and a rifle company commander in Vietnam, he entered foreign service in 1971 and the civil service in 1983. From 1988 to 1998, he served on the NSC staff at the White House as Director of Counterterrorism and Counter-Narcotics, Director for Peacekeeping, and Senior Director for Intelligence Programs. From 1998 to 2003, he was Assistant Secretary for International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs. From 2002 to 2003, he was Special Assistant to the President and Senior Director for Combating Terrorism. He resigned in March 2003 to work on John Kerry's presidential campaign as National Security and Homeland Security Issue Coordinator. And Rand Beers, welcome back to the program, and thanks for getting up and being on this morning.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
All right, I just got through talking to former Senator Bob Graham about North Korea, and he said that he thinks that we have to ratchet down, basically, I'm just kind of distilling down what he said, that we have to ratchet down the rhetoric, that whole axis of evil stuff was not a good thing, and then we have to sit down and we have to talk to them directly. Do you agree with the idea of talking to them directly?
I do. I think that that Senator Graham is exactly on the mark. We've got to get away from this heightened rhetoric of regime change. We're going to have to talk to North Korea. We're going to have to find what works for them. We're going to have to work with China, find out how they can be part of this equation. But in the end, it really is going to involve some form of direct talks. Now, we can do that through the six-party talks, which we actually are already doing, although it tends more to be demands of North Korea rather than an actual dialogue, and I think that that's the kind of shift that has to take place. We have to be able to talk to them in a dialogue and not just tell them what to do.
What is North Korea actually capable of doing? I mean, we know that they are preparing, or they're showing signs that they're preparing for another nuclear test. They have said that the sanctions imposed on them are an act of war, that they're going to deal merciful blows with anybody who gets crossways with them. But what actually could they do? What options are open to them to go after us?
Well, right now, they don't really have a working nuclear weapon. I think that the test that we saw indicated that they're still in the development stage. So in terms of actually having a nuclear bomb, they're not there yet. In terms of having a missile that could actually deliver it over long range, they're not there yet, although they do have a missile that could reach Japan or China. The danger right now is that they have a lot of fissile nuclear material that they could distribute to people who would do us harm, and that is the real danger right now. But basically, we have some time to try to resolve this. This is not a imminent threat to the United States in the nuclear sense. Now, there is a threat to Korea in terms of their conventional forces just across the border. They could wreak havoc on the capital of Seoul if they chose to attack. But they also have to know that any kind of aggressive behavior, as opposed to saber-rattling, is going to bring down the international community, in particular the United States. So I think that they are in the posturing mode right now.
So they're threatening and they're talking big, but their capacity really to carry out anything that would be earth-shattering is pretty nil.
That's right. But, I mean, we shouldn't be complacent about that. It's time to begin to try to resolve this in a serious fashion, which this administration has avoided hiding behind their axis of evil rhetoric.
So Condi basically going to Japan and basically going to China and basically going to Korea and the whole six-party talks business basically isn't going to get us anywhere. And I'll ask you the same question that I asked Senator Graham. How about these sanctions and how tough do you think that they really are?
Well, I think at this point we don't really know. The Chinese obviously negotiated the sanctions so that they would not find themselves in the position of bringing down the regime in Pyongyang, because they are deathly afraid of that implosion, first of all, leading to a refugee outpouring, and secondly, that it might lead to a reunified Korea, which would mean that they would have a democracy on their border. I think that they find North Korea a useful buffer state between themselves and South Korea. So I don't think that they are going to do anything that is going to bring the regime down. And the question is, if you leave that outside of the equation, is there enough there to actually restrict the import or export of nuclear materials or significant weapon systems so that North Korea can't either enhance its own capabilities or give them to somebody else who could do us harm? And we will only know when we see the proof of whether the Chinese are going to control their border with North Korea in a serious way.
I always had this thought, why don't the Chinese just go into North Korea and replace the government?
They have taken a very strong posture in the world that countries shouldn't intervene in the affairs of other countries in that fashion. It would be a great turnaround on their part to do something like that. That's not totally out of the question, but I think that they would have to do a significant job of preparing their country for that kind of activity, because it would be a significant reversal of their basic foreign policy approach to the world today.
Yeah, but they could get a government that they basically could control and would stop all of this because they've warned the North Koreans. They warned them just again here a couple of days ago not to do anything that would ratchet up the tension, and it's like Kim Jong-il just doesn't listen to them.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can't rule out the possibility that they could engineer a coup without actually going in there militarily. So that is a possibility, although I don't have the kind of current intelligence which would be able to give you any real sense of how probable that kind of a scenario is.
All right, in the last couple of seconds we have left, the probable outcome of all of this would be what?
I think that the United States is going to have to learn to live with a nuclear North Korea unless something miraculous happens. And because I don't see any negotiating posture that this administration is prepared to take that in any way is going to resolve this situation.
This administration's foreign policy posture has been terrible, hasn't it? I mean, it's just been, I mean, do these guys know how to do anything right?
It doesn't appear to be that. I mean, I thought they were serious professionals when they came into office, but they sure proved me wrong.
Yeah, I think they proved a lot of people wrong. Rand, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Thank you for coming on the program.
Okay. Always happy to do it.
You got it.
Take care.
There's Rand Beers. Coming up next, we'll talk to Jared Polis, and we're also going to talk to some other folks about some amendments here facing us as Election Day draws near. AM 760 Progressive Talk. If you missed any or part of that, you can get it on the podcast. Just go to am760.net.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
This is Al Franken, AM 760 Progressive Talk, broadcast in high definition. Why? Because it just sounds so darn good. Find out how to get your hands on an HD radio on AM760.net.
At Aetna, we want you to know that the right information can help you make better decisions, that your small business can now have a big range of health plans.
Today's Aetna offers Colorado easy and affordable benefits plans designed just for small businesses, including health, pharmacy, dental, disability, and life insurance. Even consumer-directed solutions like HSAs.
At Aetna, we want you to know that your healthcare network can be as strong as your business network.
Aetna offers over 7,400 primary care and specialist physicians in our strong statewide network.
At Aetna, we want you to know that even though we insure nationally, we serve locally.
To better serve small businesses, Aetna has staff located right here in Denver.
At Aetna, we want you to know, because with the right information, you can make better healthcare decisions. To find out more, call your broker or Aetna representative.
Plans are offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations. Colorado Network data as of 6/106.
Progressive traffic and your forecast coming up after noon on AM 760 Progressive Talk. KKZN Thornton, Denver Boulder. And on AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. It's off to the races on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average shot past 12,000 a short time ago on the strength of reports showing a big drop in consumer prices and a big gain in housing starts. That and steady interest rates, says investment strategist Hugh Johnson.
That combination has been sort of music to the ears of investors, and that's why the market's going up.
And right now, the Dow's giving ground, but it's still ahead by about 70 points at 12,020. Social Security benefits will go up 3.3% in January, $33 on average. The rise is pegged to the increase in the Consumer Price Index over the past 12 months. In Iraq, enemy attacks have killed 9 more soldiers and 1 Marine. CBS's Cammie McCormick has that.
This brings to near 70 the number of U.S. troops killed this month. At this rate, that is nearing a January 2005 level in which 107 troops were killed. Many of the latest casualties occurred in and around Baghdad and involved roadside bombs.
Secretary of State Rice arrived in Tokyo a few hours ago with cameras clicking and microphones at the ready to hear what she had to say about North Korea.
Secretary Rice said that she doesn't want to see the crisis escalate. That's the U.S. position. She also warned North Korea today in Tokyo that if necessary, the U.S. will come to Japan's defense.
CBS News correspondent Bill Plant. Did FEMA give Buffalo the cold shoulder? Congressman Brian Higgins says the agency's been slow to help the city recover from last week's paralyzing snowstorm.
It's not too little too late, but they should have had a presence here day one. We are day five now.
As far as the state of Massachusetts is concerned, former Congressman Gary Studs was legally married when he died the other day. But the federal government doesn't recognize same-sex marriage, so it won't let his male partner collect death benefits. Gay rights advocate Gary Busek hopes members of Congress will change that.
I think a lot of them may just be shocked to realize that when it comes down to now his death, that his spouse is treated differently than any of their spouses would be treated.
In San Francisco, a new telephone service is designed to keep things from getting lost in translation.
You have reached Your World, Your Language service.
It's a joint venture between AT&T and LanguageLine. It allows immigrants, tourists, or business travelers who don't speak English to hook up with an interpreter who can help them out. His listeners and his peers will tell you he was one of the best. CBS News correspondent Christopher Glenn, who retired earlier this year, died of cancer yesterday. He was 68. A reporter whose hallmark was grace and precision, even on a terrible day when he watched the Challenger space shuttle burn up.
A terrible thing. Debris falling out of the sky, falling slowly, painfully, tragically slowly toward the Atlantic Ocean, just a few miles.
This is CBS News.
You, line dancing with space aliens. Leprechauns playing hopscotch. Hot guy on the cover of a romance novel braiding your hair. Hot guy on the cover of a romance novel braiding his own hair. Genghis Khan in underwear that reads Saturday, but it's Monday. Dreams. They can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you. Or if your insomnia doesn't improve, take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. CRN Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Unicorns, mermaids, gargoyles, dragons.
Good morning. I'm Corey Lopez with an AM 760 local news update. No matter where you are, whether the roads look wet or snowy, there could be ice. Best tip of the day, slow down. Black ice, a big problem out on the plains near Lyman on I-70.
Well, as more cars, people are coming to work right now. The backup looks, oh gosh, I'm probably looking at a good 2.5 miles.
As the sun comes up, those roads will dry off just a little bit. Trucks lining up on the signs of the interstate, though, near Lyman. A teen who was killed in a crash north of Fort Collins earlier this month had drugs in his system. Toxicology reports indicate 18-year-old Benjamin Moden had a mix of marijuana, cocaine, and ecstasy when he died October 8th in a crash on I-25. Another passenger seriously injured in that crash. Moden was the driver in a May 2005 Northern Colorado crash that killed two teenage passengers. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Corey Lopez. Now, Gina Michaels with AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Thanks, Corey. Well, most of our issues have been located outside the metro. Highway 58 still closed at I-70 due to black ice. Southbound 25 problematic south of Castle Rock. We've had several collisions there, so be very careful. Still clearing a major head-on wreck eastbound Highway 85 in Bromley. Right now, average drive on I-25 through the Tech Center and into downtown. I'd be careful of possible slick spots at the bridges. 225 in Aurora catching the usual delays, and we have build along C-470 through Highlands Ranch. Security wait time at DIA, 5 minutes. Weather today, light snow showers early. Afternoon clearing, cold, 38. Currently 25 degrees. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get Nissan's 100-point courtesy checkup, a complimentary 100-point inspection of your Nissan performed by our factory-trained technicians during Nissan's October Car Care Clinic event. Peace of mind only at your participating Nissan dealer. Nissan, genuine service and parts.
This is the Jay Marvin Show. Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Could be wrong. I could be right. Could be wrong.
Six minutes after 8, and high today 43. It's supposed to be mostly cloudy with snow flurries, but right now it's clear out there. Let's hope it stays that way. We're going to switch gears here, and we're going to discuss Amendment 41. In studio, our guest, Jared Polis. He is vice chairman of the Colorado Board of Education. He won statewide election in 2000, where he's been a strong advocate for school reform and enhancing educational opportunities. That same year, he launched the Jared Polis Foundation to further pursue his passion for improving and expanding access to education. He played an instrumental role in the passage of Amendment 23 and an amendment to the Colorado Constitution that has been responsible for preventing cutbacks in K-12 education and otherwise would have occurred over the past several years. He's also helped found the Democratic Education Initiative, a statewide group developing a vision and strategy for education reform. He is a recipient of the Martin Luther King Jr. Colorado Humanitarian Award and was recognized as Outstanding Young Coloradoan of the Year by the Coloradoan JCs. And if you want to check out his website, go to jaredpolisfoundation.org. And Jared, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Jay. It's great to be here.
All right, we're going to talk about Amendment 41. Now, for those who do not understand what Amendment 41 basically is about, this whole thing about restricting the value of gifts to lobbyists, talk a little bit about that.
Sure. One of the main things Amendment 41 does, and sort of to take a step back, a lot of people are shocked that it's actually legal today for lobbyists to give gifts to legislators for their personal benefit. And in fact, lobbyists spend $1.6 million annually on gifts for the personal enrichment of policymakers, members of the legislature, et cetera, including things like Broncos tickets, expensive meals, handheld computers. So that is currently legal. There's not a legal problem with that. What this amendment would do is it would ban lobbyists for giving gifts to public officials. It would also establish some restrictions around gift giving to public officials from non-lobbyists. It would also prevent state legislators and statewide elected officials from becoming paid lobbyists for 2 years after leaving office. So there'd be a waiting period, and that's similar to something that the federal government has and 29 other states have, so they can't go right into the revolving door. And finally, it creates an independent ethics commission, so you don't have the foxes guarding the henhouse with regard to ethics.
Why would anybody in the world, why would anybody other than a lobbyist be against this?
Well, the lobbyists are against it, and the lobbyists are a clever bunch, let me tell you. So, first of all, we have sort of broad support in the progressive community, including the Colorado Progressive Coalition, Common Cause, COPERG, Environmental Coalition, Progress Now, etc. But the lobbyists are really pulling no punches in trying to defeat this. And to tell the truth, quite honestly, Jay, it's also not the most popular thing among legislators. A lot of them enjoy this sort of perk of office. And that's the very reason that this is on the ballot this year, is while there's certainly been many good government-oriented Democratic legislators like Morgan Carroll and Ron Tupa who have pushed these things, they've actually never been able to get them passed into law by a majority of the legislature.
So there are legislators out there, they like getting these perks. They like getting these gifts.
It's part of the culture at the Capitol. If you ever spend any time at the Capitol in Denver, you'll see that, first of all, lobbyists outnumber legislators about 11 to 1 down there. So the first thing you see is just lobbyists all over the place. Our state legislators don't have the advantage of having professional staff like we do in the United States Congress, like many other states do. So they actually have a very cozy relationship with lobbyists. Now, this is not going to end that altogether. There's other things we need to do. But what this will end is really that culture of gift-giving down there, and it will allow our public officials to make their decisions based on the merits of the arguments rather than who's buying gifts for whom.
Now, when you say there's other things that would also need to be done, what are some of those other things?
Yeah, there's a number of reforms that certainly I would support, and I think in general Common Cause, who's working on this initiative with us, would also be supportive of the establishment of professional staffs at the legislature, allowing each legislature to have a state-funded office account for official expenses to go to conferences and that sort of thing, so they don't have to rely on lobbyists and special interests to fund the everyday activities of government. That's really where we run into problems, because what you find is, and this doesn't work to the benefit of progressives, the people with the money are usually the ones on the other side of the issues. So
yeah,
you look at you look at who has paid lobbyists, you look at who's taking people to Broncos games, it's usually not our friends. You look at who's funding the opposition to this initiative, it's the Colorado Mining Association, the Automobile Dealers Association. These are the folks that really have a vested interest in the status quo.
So they're not going to want to, they don't want to change in this in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, they like the culture down there. They like the coziness that they have with the elected officials, and they benefit from that. Let me tell you, lobbyists giving gifts, they're not giving these gifts to public officials out of the goodness of their heart.
No, they expect something.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to be clear, a quid pro quo has always been illegal in Colorado. They can't say, here's a computer, vote no on 1194. They're way too clever for that. It's much more subtle. But clearly they're expecting results. They're not just giving these gifts out of the goodness of their heart.
Yeah, and what it does is it basically essentially takes democracy out of the hands of the voters and puts it in the hands of the big contributors and the people who can lobby and go to these legislators and go, here, let me give you a gift.
Yeah, it gives them another weapon in their arsenal. I mean, certainly lobbying is a form of free speech, and certainly we're not talking about banning lobbying, and lobbyists actually play an important role down there, and progressive groups have lobbyists too. But you talk about what sort of the playing field should be, what's fair and what's not fair. What's fair is for a lobbyist to advance the arguments on behalf of the folks that they're representing and say, these are the reasons you should vote for this bill, these are the reasons you should vote against it. Where it becomes unfair is if one side has the resources that they can use for the personal enrichment of the legislature, and they're taking them out to expensive dinners. They're taking them to Broncos games and mentioning the issue during the game, suite on the 50-yard line. They're sending them on international trips. Those are the sorts of things where it really calls into question the integrity of our government. I think it's the sort of thing we shouldn't allow. A good example of this, and actually just happened last week, is came to light that Rick O'Donnell, when he was director of the Colorado Commission on Higher Education, accepted a trip to Panama.
Right.
Exactly. Paid for by a TV station that the commission was doing business with. Jim Spencer from the Denver Post wrote last Friday that O'Donnell has become the poster child for Amendment 41. So O'Donnell did not violate the law. Nobody's talking about whether he violated the law. People are saying it's unethical. What we're saying is, forget unethical. Let's make that kind of thing illegal. The truth is, if O'Donnell wasn't running for Congress now, nobody would even care that he did that. We think that our public officials should be held to a higher standard, and they shouldn't be able to accept these kinds of gifts from lobbyists.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they have any business, getting free trips or anything of any monetary worth. It's 8:13, 13 minutes after 8 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've got Jared Polis on the horn here. Well, actually, he's in the studio. I'm so used to saying that. He's in the studio. We're talking about Amendment 41. I can't imagine anybody really going to the polls and voting against this. But there'll be some people who will, and why? Why would they vote against this? Other than the people you've named, because I'm a member of the Automobile Association, or I'm in some other big corporate entity. But I'm talking about everyday people.
Well, there's two things, Jay. The first is that the ballot is long, and there's a tendency that there will be people who just start ticking off no on things because they get frustrated with reading everything. So you're up against that. It's always hard to pass an initiative, and it's sort of a rule of thumb that, you know, when you look at where an initiative is, you always subtract sort of 10 or 15% because there's going to be people who might like the idea but just don't want to get around to reading it. The other thing is the opposition is very clever. I mean, lobbyists are very good at what they do, and they are spreading a lot of information about what this initiative would do. They're talking about all sorts of horrific scenarios about what this could mean in terms of whether, you know, lobbyists could have their kids go to birthday parties and those sorts of things, or state officials. And we don't have the resources to get the message out to counter all of that, but we just hope that people just actually read the amendment and look at the plain language and see what it does, and really is an amendment that bans gift-giving from lobbyists to members of the legislature.
So what they're saying, that their kids couldn't go to a birthday party?
Well, they're looking at, again, things that aren't covered. I mean, let's take the instance of scholarships, for example. One of the arguments that the opponents use is that if you're a legislator, your kid wouldn't be able to receive a scholarship. Well, that's not the case. A scholarship is not a gift. A scholarship is earned. Now, there is a type of scholarship this would ban. If, you know, a lobbyist from a corporation sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge goes to a legislator and says, hey, we'll give your kid a $10,000 scholarship, you know, as a gift.
Right.
That would be banned by this. But a regular scholarship that the kid earns that doesn't relate at all to what the parent does or the parent's role in government continues to be permitted. So, you know, it looks at the gift giving to legislators. So when they say it bans scholarships for, you know, kids of legislators, well, no, it doesn't if the kid earned that scholarship. And yes, it does if that scholarship was given as a gift to influence the parent.
What else?
Those are really the main things. There are people who are in principle don't agree with the waiting period, the revolving door policy. There's some former legislators. And by the way, this is nothing, we're not saying anything by any means against the integrity of former legislators who have become lobbyists. There's many who do a fine job doing that, people like Mike Feeley and others. What we're saying is it calls into question the integrity of the system, because the problem you have is in a legislator's last term, when they're not facing the public again for re-election, they know that they can have a job that pays, you know, 50-100% more right out the door as a lobbyist. And you have to think that affects their judgment in their final term. But there are many people who are in principle believe that you ought to be able to, you know, have any job you want if they hire you in this country, and it kind of infringes upon the rights of former legislators if they can't go right around and be a lobbyist. Now, we're not looking at a lifetime ban here. We're looking at a 2-year waiting period. So it just prevents that revolving door of going right from the legislature into lobbying the colleagues that you were working with, you know, a week before.
See, I think 2 years is reasonable. Well, I'd like to make it 5.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument for making it longer, and, I think that there's a couple problems with having sort of the former legislators down there as lobbyists. One is, of course, they're very, very buddy-buddy with their former colleagues. You know, two is it affects their judgment in their final years in office, because, quite frankly, a lobbyist position, if you're a successful lobbyist, pays quite a bit more than being in the legislature itself.
Hmm. Yeah. And that's a shame, too, I think, at times. 8:17, 17 minutes after 8 here at AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll continue with Jared Polis and this discussion about Amendment 41. You want to ask any questions about this amendment? You want to talk about it? 303-713-7600. Miss any part of the interview with Jared? You can get it. Podcast, am760.net. Let's take a look at traffic now with Gina.
Thanks, Jay. Well, biggest area for delays right now is southbound 25 south of Castle Rock. We've had a series of wrecks there due to icy conditions, so expect some rolling backups, lots of police and rescue activity on scene. Boulder, we were cleaning up a couple of problems in town, one at Broadway in Dartmouth, the other Broadway at Baseline. We've also had a brand new problem, a rollover south of Boulder at 128 and 93. Those are your county roads. Also a problem, Table Mesa going to eastbound lanes of the Boulder Turnpike, actually eastbound 36. Right there, two cars on the ramp, so be aware of that. Final activity also along Highway 85 at Bromley from an earlier crash. Weather today, light snow showers early, afternoon clearing but cold 38, currently 25. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
FedEx Kinko's has great savings for you this month. Right now, get 20% off all signs, posters, and banners at FedEx Kinko's. Hurry, this offer ends on October 31st. See your neighborhood FedEx Kinko's for details. FedEx Kinko's. Our office is your office.
Courtesy of Sean Healy, Keller Williams Preferred Realty.
Are you thinking about selling your home? If so, you can now find out what your home is worth online by going to DenverHomePrice.com. At DenverHomePrice.com, you'll receive information on what comparable homes have sold for in your neighborhood, which homes are currently listed, how long they've been for sale, and their prices. Based on this information, you'll have an idea of what your home is worth. This confidential analysis from DenverHomePrice.com is absolutely free. Visit DenverHomePrice.com. That's DenverHomePrice.com.
Oh, it's my turn. It's 8:19, 19 minutes after 8. And you don't ever think about it. You don't plan for it. But one day you may need the help of a personal injury lawyer. When that time comes, you want a progressive trial lawyer like Mike Turner, who believes in and supports AM 760. Progressive Talk, with years of personal injury experience, Mike Turner fights corporations and insurance companies for real people like you and me every single day. He's a trial lawyer I'm proud of, and Mike Turner is a progressive lawyer who will fight for you. The law offices of Mike Turner at 303-300-1661 or on the web at MikeTurnerLaw.com.
The professionals at Medical Billing Office in Aurora remind everyone that America's greatest resource is her youth. Parents, kids are exposed to many dangers. Know the dangers of drug and alcohol abuse and tell your children early. Get the facts. Call 1-800-662-HELP. Remember, a loving home is the key to a safer and drug-free community. This important message courtesy of the fine staff at Medical Billing Office at 10730 East Bethany Drive in Aurora. Call Medical Billing Office at 303-337-7729. Teaching seminars are available for doctors and their staff.
Well, they're called perpetual petitioners.
Perpetual petitioners?
Narrow, special interest pushing pet proposals that hurt Colorado.
Like Amendment 38, the petition amendment?
Yeah, that one. Expensive and reckless.
What do you mean?
Well, it sounds good, but Amendment 38's fine print kills Colorado. Blows a hole in our state constitution.
Blows a hole in our state constitution?
Makes it easier to get wacky ideas on the ballot with sneaky language to confuse voters. The result will be chaos.
Oh, great. Just what we need. All government, all the time. Who's behind Amendment 38 anyway?
The same old cranks with a cause crowd who want to force taxpayers to foot the bill for their special interest agenda.
So what can we do to fight this?
Join more than 100 major civic and business groups, our daily newspapers, and responsible Coloradans everywhere. Vote no on Amendment 38. Don't let them hurt Colorado.
Paid for by Coloradans for Responsible Reform, 2006. VoteNo38.com.
We've received some fantastic entries for the AM 760 Progressive Radio Star Contest.
Good morning, Denver.
Good day, fellow Americans.
Good day and welcome.
Just give me a call here.
But these aren't necessarily them.
I'm Blaine, and it's time to complain.
And thank you for tuning in to AM 760.
The top finalists will compete Sunday. Who will be the next Progressive Radio Star? Stay tuned to AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 8:21, 21 minutes after 8. High today, 43, mostly cloudy with flurries, although it looks clear out here right now. And we're talking to Jared Polis. We're discussing Amendment 41. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Sue Wendell and State Senator Sue Wendell's, and we'll be talking about Amendment 39. All right, Jared, there's some folks who have some questions for you. Here's Brad in Louisville. Brad, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Jared.
Hi.
thanks for providing the information. This amendment would create a new ethics committee, right?
Yes, that's right, an independent ethics commission.
So is there one already, and is it not doing the job, or is it a matter of needing, you know, enforcing their guidelines or what's already supposed to be happening, or is there really no ethics oversight now?
Yeah, excellent question. And the ethics commission that we're proposing is by no means perfect, but I think it's a big improvement over what we're doing now. The currently, legislators oversee their own ethics, so they sit in judgment of one another. So if there's a complaint filed against one member, it's actually heard by other members of the legislature. Now, there's a couple problems with that. One is there's always going to be one party or the other in control, so there's a tendency to use ethics charges for partisan reasons. Two, it's hard to be objective when you're sitting in judgment of your colleagues and your friends that you work with every day. So what we're doing is we're removing it sort of one degree of separation from that, creating a five-member independent ethics commission. Now, they are political appointees, so they're not going to be totally separate. I mean, one's appointed by the governor, by the state senate, by the state house, by the Supreme Court, so there are some judicial people on there, too. A key element of the ethics commission is that there can be no majority of any one party on there. So of the five people, no more than two can be from any one political party. So in reality, it'll probably be two Democrats, two Republicans, and probably an unaffiliated or a Green or a Libertarian. So it makes it harder to use it for political reasons, and it also allows it to be a little bit more objective. So it's not actually your colleagues and your friends sitting in judgment.
Right, right. But would they have any kind of authority to do anything, you know, issue any sanctions or any kind of public reprimand, or is it really just sort of an advisory body?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. There's no criminal sanctions anywhere in this amendment. What it does allow is fines of twice the gift amount. So if it's found that a legislator accepted a gift overseas for, you know, $1,500, this commission would be able to get to assign a fine of twice that, of $3,000 if it was a $1,500 gift. So that's kind of what the flexibility they have is. They will also be able to give advisory opinions. So if a legislator doesn't know or a public official says, hey, can I do this, they can then apply for an advisory opinion, sort of a good housekeeping seal of approval, and the commission can say, yeah, that's permitted or no, that's not permitted.
Okay, great. So they can kind of issue either proactively or guidelines to say here's what's acceptable and not.
That's right.
Okay, thanks very much, Aaron.
All right, Brad, take care. Aren't they? One of the ads that's running that they're using to attack this is, oh, politicians. Oh, let me get this right. Politicians appointing other politicians.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and at least it's one degree of separation from the politicians themselves. So, I mean, you have to kind of look at what the alternative. Currently, it's not politicians appointing other politicians. It's actually the politicians themselves that are sitting in judgment of themselves. You know, in trying to figure out how this committee should be composed, there's no perfect solution. I mean, we didn't want to cut, you know, the elected officials out of it altogether. But I think it's a fair balance to have some representatives from appointed by the judiciary, to have some appointed by our elected officials, and most importantly, to make sure that this can't be hijacked by any one political party. You know, right now the Democrats are in the majority, and that's great. I hope we're always in the majority. But, you know, I think the important thing in looking at ethics is it's really a nonpartisan issue. It really is. I mean, there's unfortunately bad seeds and bad acts that occur with members of both parties.
No, it's true. That's absolutely true. Here's Sam in Denver. Sam, you're on AM 760. Go ahead.
Morning, Jay.
Hi.
Yeah, I just got one question really quick. If this passes and it, you know, stops these lobbyists from giving gifts, up, stop these folks from forming 526s and having unlimited donations that way?
That's an excellent question. And 527s, those are on the campaign finance side. And there's a big difference between donations to campaigns and actual gifts to legislators. So when anything's happening on a 527, or even if you're giving directly to a candidate's campaign, that doesn't enrich the candidate. They can't go out and spend that money on a new car. They can't go consume that money. It's not for their personal enrichment. So, and on the campaign finance side, it's all protected by this sort of free speech, you know, in the Constitution, where ultimately you can't stop somebody for giving money to, and saying, hey, I think you should vote for so-and-so, whether it's through a 527 or directly through the campaign. But remember, the candidate or the office holder does not personally get enriched by that money. So that's the difference. So they can't give through a 527 any gift to an elected official that they personally benefit from. They can certainly say vote for so-and-so, vote against so-and-so, but that's kind of the difference right there. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Makes sense. Appreciate it.
All right, Sam, thanks. Let's go to Dottie in Broomfield. Dottie, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay and Jared.
Hi.
Hi. I've got a question for you. With this Amendment 41 affect the minimally questionable, if not downright shady, occurrence that happened in August when Republican Representative House 33, Bill Behrens, accepted a $20,000 golfing prize in August from the sponsoring tournament. The sponsor was Colorado Oil and Gas Association, and he's accepted it and made no indication he's going to do anything other than keep that money. I know I'm absolutely certain that even if Diane Primavera, his Democratic opponent in this election, were to receive something like that, not that she would be seen at such an event sponsored by the Oil and Gas Association, but she would immediately either return it to them or preferably she would give it to a charity such as the Breast Cancer Association that she champions. I'm wondering if your amendment, if this Amendment 41 would have prevented him from just accepting this and going on his $20,000 rich or merry way.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it's another flagrant example of why Amendment 41 is necessary. So the Rick O'Donnell example is one. Bill Behrens accepted a $20,000 check from oil and gas.
Right.
That's a gift. That's for his own benefit.
Right.
And, you know, it's actually not illegal for him to do that. I think it's highly unethical for him to do that.
Right.
But under current law, it's not illegal. But Amendment 41, it would be illegal. So let's make these kinds of things illegal. I mean, I think a lot of Coloradans are shocked when they find out they're not illegal. I mean, I think a lot of Coloradans expect that this sort of thing is already illegal. They're kind of shocked that an oil and gas industry can give somebody like Bill Behrens $20,000 and he can do whatever he wants with.
Mm-hmm.
But that is currently legal. And Amendment 41 would make that illegal and I think would prevent those kinds of problems from arising in the future. So that's a very good example of why we need Amendment 41.
So we call it the Bill Behrens Amendment.
Yeah, the Bill Behrens or Rick O'Donnell Amendment.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you,
very much. Thank you.
All right. And you're right about that. Most people do assume that stuff's illegal.
Yeah, you know, that's in part what, you know, we're up against in terms of when people see this on the ballot. A lot of people are, especially as I go around and talk about it, they're actually shocked that lobbyists can actually give gifts for the personal benefit and enrichment of legislators. We've had all this talk and all this effort around campaign finance reform, and there's been all sorts of efforts to figure out who can give money where and what the limits are. But, you know, it's much more flagrant when it's actually a gift for the personal enrichment of the office holder.
Yeah. Well, now you know. For those of you who don't know, now you do know. So we urge you to vote yes on Amendment 41 on the Bill Behrens, Rick O'Donnell Amendment, and stop all of this foolishness in the state of Colorado. And these guys shouldn't be getting this money. $20,000.
Absolutely. It's just really a violation of the public trust. I mean, and that's really what it comes down to. I think that what it says right in the language of 41 is the reason for this is to avoid conduct by public officers and government employees that's in violation of the public trust, and any effort to realize personal financial gain through their public office is a violation of that trust.
Yeah, I think it puts it real well. Jared, thank you. Thank you for coming by and explaining this to us.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
All right. It's always a pleasure to have you on. It's 8:30 here at AM 760, a Progressive Talk. If you missed any or part of this, get it on podcast at am760.net. Right now, we'll get traffic with Gina.
Jay, it's still a tough ride outside Metro Denver. Highway 58 closed at I-70 due to black ice. Southbound 25 south of Castle Rock. We've just had a series of collisions there, and we still had some activity eastbound Highway 85 in Bromley. In and around Boulder, northbound Broadway being detoured now at Table Mesa due to problems on the highway, including a two-car on the ramp from Table Mesa to eastbound lanes of the Turnpike. We also have a rollover south of Boulder on County Road 93 at 128. Weather today, light snow showers early, afternoon clearing, cold 38, currently 25 degrees. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
FedEx Kinko's has great savings for you this month. Right now, get 20% off all signs, posters, and banners at FedEx Kinko's. Hurry, this offer ends on October 31st. See your neighborhood FedEx Kinko's for details. FedEx Kinko's. Our office is your office.
AM 760 with Jay Marvin. Mornings at 6. At 10 a.m., it's Al Franken, Ed Schultz at 1, and Randy Rhodes at 4. Get the real story on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Just Brakes.
What does Just Brakes charge for a new brake pad?
Just Brakes safety experts will replace pads and shoes on all four wheels for just $99.88.
All four wheels?
Yes. Just Brakes will also machine rotors and drums and inspect the brake system for any other problems.
Just Brakes installs pads and shoes on all four wheels and machines rotors and drums for $99.88. You are the brake safety expert. Why can't you do it, Just Brakes?
At Just Brakes, we really do.
Additional parts or services cost more. Offer good on most cars and light trucks.
Congress is out of control. Corruption, bribery, the Iraq mess, cuts to veterans' benefits. Now a congressman preying on 16-year-old boys. This is Marilyn Musgrave's Congress. Musgrave, linked to the biggest scandals and named one of the 13 most corrupt members of Congress. Now when the politicians sweep the Mark Foley congressional page scandal under the rug, Marilyn Musgrave is silent. We need change. We need a principled leader who will stand up to powerful politicians. Angie Piccioni.
I say enough is enough. Marilyn Musgrave is using every trick in the book to distract you from the real issues. She's attacked me on a 15-year-old bankruptcy, but her big spending is bankrupting America. Marilyn attacked my personal finances, but voted to raise her own pay. I passed tough immigration laws. What has she done? Cut border patrols. I'm Angie Piccioni, and I approve this message because if Marilyn Musgrave keeps lying about my record, I'll keep telling the truth about hers.
Paid for by Angie Piccioni for Congress.
Hi, I'm Stephen C. Ludwig, candidate for the University of Colorado Board of Regents at large. And I'm proud to say, I'm the only progressive in this race. You know, this campaign for University of Colorado Regent isn't about a football team. It's not about a controversial professor or even one college campus. It's really about the future of our state. People always ask me, Stephen Ludwig, why should I care about the Regents race? Well, that's simple, because the Regents impact you, your kids, and your friends through job creation, health care, and public education. Now, you might be wondering why vote for me, Stephen C. Ludwig, for Regent. Well, here's what I stand for. Affordable tuition. You and your family need to know that you can afford to attend college. Ensuring CU remains an economic development driver for Colorado, and working with K-12 to help solve the high school dropout crisis. Colorado can't thrive if we are not getting all the talented students we can into college. I'm Stephen C. Ludwig, candidate for the University of Colorado Board of Regents, and I approve this message.
What the right wing fears the most. Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning. It's 8:34. 34 minutes past the hour. High today, 43. Mostly cloudy, maybe some flurries, but nice blue skies and white snow out this morning. We're going to talk about Amendment 39 is on the docket with, we're going to talk to State Senator Sue Wendells from Senate District 9. If passed, the measure would require schools to spend at least 65% of their operating budgets on instruction that directly touches students. That includes classroom teachers, personnel, field trips, libraries, librarians, music, arts, and computers. It excludes costs associated with administration, food services, transportation, nurses, and counselors, which would be covered from the remaining 35%. And Sue Wendells, of course, began her career as a Peace Corps volunteer in El Salvador and Honduras and subsequently teaching in Washington State, Arizona, and here in Colorado. Her teaching experience ranges from kindergarten to high school and from traditional classrooms to individualized instruction for migrant children. Sue also belongs to the Arvada Jefferson Kiwanis Club. She is also part of the League of Women Voters and the American Association of University Women. And we welcome Representative Wendells to the program. And Representative, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, Jay. Thanks for having me on your show.
And I should correct that by saying Senator Wendells.
Yes, it's Senator Wendells, and it's Senate District 19, not 9.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Typo on my part. All right, let's talk about the merits of... well, first of all, let's talk about 39 in this respect. You're against 39. Why do you think 39 is a bad idea?
Well, Jay, I think 39 is a bad idea because, first of all, it is a inflexible constitutional mandate that is a direct attack on local control of our school districts. We have in our Constitution already that curriculum and instruction of our public schools should be under the purview of the local boards of education, and to put into the Constitution handcuffs that tell every school board, whether you're rural, suburban, urban, that you have to put a specific percentage into the classroom is just a bad idea.
I hear the ads that run for this, and they talk a lot about putting money directly into the classroom and about construction. Can you get into a little bit of that?
Well, they talk about putting more money into the classroom, but it's very deceptive. I call it the Amendment 39 deception because people believe when they support this that they're putting more money into our public schools. But in reality, there is not one nickel, one dime, one penny, $1 more. All it is a mandate that you must cut other areas of the budget to put money into their narrow definition of in the classroom. And there's more to a student achieving in school than just having a well-paid teacher, a teacher aide, books, and computers. You have to get the student to school with the transportation program. You need to have a food service program so that kids have good things to eat in school. You need counselors. You need security officers. And what this does is going to require school districts to cut many of those vital programs and services. Of our 178 school districts, currently only 12 meet the 65% threshold. That means all of the rest of those school districts are going to have to look at their budgets. They're going to have to cut counselors, cut food service, cut transportation, cut security officers, cut secretaries and all groundskeepers, custodians to move money because there is no new money. And they're just going to have to cut. When I looked at where our school districts are right here in the Denver metro area, I represent Jefferson County School District. And when I looked up to see where my school district is, we are at 53% of our operating budget going into that narrow definition of the in the classroom. Denver's at 52%. So you can see what huge cuts. There will be massive cuts if Amendment 39 passes to very important services that students need to have a quality education in our public school system.
8:38, it's 38 minutes past the hour here. We're talking to State Senator Sue Wendells from Senate District 19, and we're talking about Amendment 39. Who are the people that put Amendment 39 on the ballot? What's their interest in this?
Jay, it came from a group in Washington, D.C., and it's an effort by the Republican Party to show that they're doing something for public schools because their platform on education has always been weak for public schools. They have a support for vouchers to take taxpayer dollars and send it to private and religious schools, so it was their effort to help their candidates so they could go out and say, we support putting more money into the classroom, when in reality there is no more money. There is just a mandate that really hampers local control of our schools.
So this is an out-of-state effort.
It is, and they wanted to put it on the ballot in all 50 states. Because we have such an easy process to petition onto the ballot, Colorado is one of only two states that is having to deal with this in their November election.
Hmm. So they came in, they obviously paid people to gather signatures and to get it on here. People who are putting this amendment on won't have to suffer with the consequences if this thing passes.
No, that's exactly true. And the CEO of Overstock.com is the money behind this. He paid to have the petition gatherers stand in front of our grocery stores and say, do you want to put more money into the classroom? And unsuspecting people signed the petition. That's why I call it the Amendment 39 deception. They were deceived. There is no more money. It's only an inflexible mandate locked in our Constitution that hampers local control of our schools.
What in the world was his interest in all of this? He doesn't live in this community, does he?
No, but he's a very powerful Republican.
Hmm.
And as I said, they would like to see chaos and dissatisfaction in our public school system, which, can you imagine how parents are going to feel if this passes and they get the message that we're cutting security officers in your school because our Constitution says we now have to. We have to cut transportation. You're going to have to drive your child to school. And by the way, pack them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because we've had to cut the food service workers as well.
All right, let's take a few calls. You mind taking a few calls?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Okay, let's go to Dave in Aurora. Dave, you're on the AM 760. Go ahead.
Good morning, Senator. How are you? Hello?
Can you hear us, Senator?
I,
All right, we lost her. Hang on a second. We'll get her back, Dave.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second. And we'll get her back. We'll get her back on the line here for you. And briefly, what was the question you wanted to ask?
Well, I have been kind of confused about this Amendment 39 to start with, too. And my initial reading of it, I thought, you know, this might eliminate some waste. And number one, my question is, would it eliminate waste? And number two, I guess part of that goes along with that would be, I think, what's the current spending that we have on kids in our classrooms at this particular time in percentage?
Okay, we've got the state senator back. Sorry about that, state senator. You're there. Dave wants to ask what this has to do. How will this cut waste, Dave? Is that essentially what you're asking the senator?
Basically, yes. Will it cut waste? And under the current system that we have, what is our current spending per child, basically, or what is our current spending allotment for the classroom compared to what this particular amendment states that and places so rigidly that it has to be that 65%?
Are you still there?
Yeah, he's there. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You are assuming that there is waste in our public schools, and I sat on the School Finance Interim Committee Task Force. I chaired it last year, and we looked carefully at the adequacy of funding for our public schools, and we found that if we really funded our schools at the level they should be funded to provide for all of the programs, services that we need, and when we looked at other states, we found we were underfunding our schools by about $800 per student. So our schools run on a very lean budget, and they have very transparent budgets as well so that citizens can participate, and if they see waste, they can cut waste. But we found that there is not expenditure in any area, that school districts are struggling just to provide the services that students need in our schools.
So does this put a cap on spending in itself as far as what it is per child can be spent or what it is in a percentage-wise that a school can spend? And if so, do we want to vote no against it? Because that stands right now. From the original language that I saw, it sounded like a good idea, but as you explain it further and get more into detail, I want to vote no on it right now.
Well, I would encourage you to vote no on it because, yes, it puts an inflexible mandate on how local school boards have to budget their operating dollars, and it just isn't the same for DPS as it is for a small rural school district. Some school districts have enormous transportation costs because they have to drive, you know, many, many miles to pick up their students, and the cost of gasoline has skyrocketed. So their costs in relation to what percent of their budget they have to put toward transportation is much different than a school district where most kids can walk to school.
Well, thank you very much for bringing this to our attention in such a well-struck manner there. I think that the language of that particular amendment there needs to be gone over with a fine-tooth comb. And from listening to this at this particular point, I encourage everybody to vote no.
You got it, Dave. Thanks.
Thanks
Dave.
All right, let's take a... Oh, you there, Senator? What happens is it hangs up on... You know, yeah, what happens is it hangs up. We'll have to get her back on again here. That's my fault. I hit the wrong button. But we've got some more people who want to call, who want to talk to the senator. And what I wanted to attempt to do was to hang up on that guy and not hang up on everybody, but I hung up on everybody. So, okay, way to go, Jay. All right, coming up after 9 o'clock, we're going to open the phones. And we got her back again. Okay, but she's on the same bank again. How are we going to manage this? All right, let's put the senator back on first. Okay, Senator, we got you. You're there.
I'm here.
Sorry about that. Okay, now let's go to Elaine in Aurora, who's got a really good question. Elaine, talk to the senator and go ahead.
Yes, Senator, I would like you to speak to this amendment is in comparison to Referendum J that is similar but has some important differences, and what your opinion is of Referendum J.
Thank you for asking about referendum, Jay. I was very concerned when I saw the petition gatherers during the legislative session out there getting petitions and that they were deceiving people into thinking it was more money. So Referendum J was my effort, as well as other pro-public education legislators, to put something on the ballot that looked very similar to Amendment 39, but had a broader definition of what was included in the 65%. We changed it from 65% to the classroom to 65% towards services, programs and services that directly affect student achievement. So what we, and we made it statutory instead of constitutional. It was our hope that if people were inclined to vote for a mandate upon schools to spend 65%, that they would vote for Referendum J rather than 39. We called it 39 corrected. My advice to you is, if you really believe in local control, that this should be totally a decision of the local board of education, I say vote no on 39, vote no on Referendum J. However, if you feel school districts need some kind of mandate and direction from the state, please vote for J rather than 39.
Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you. And thank you, Elaine. And thank you, Senator, for your time this morning. Really appreciate you letting us know that we need to vote no on 39. Thank you. Thank you so much, Senator, for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Jay.
You bet. Anytime. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Bye.
All right. There's Senator Sue Wendells. And there's Amendment 39. Vote no on 39. It's 8:48. On AM 760, Progressive Talk. We'll check traffic, and then I got something from Dick Cheney for you coming up here on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Thanks, Jay. Still not a lot of improvement outside Metro Denver. We're dealing with a number of issues now, including in and around Boulder, northbound Broadway being detoured at Table Mesa due to some problems on the highway. We have a two-car on the ramp from Table Mesa to eastbound lanes of the Turnpike. Had a rollover on County Road 93 at 128 just south of Boulder. And if you're in the city, watch out at the intersection of Broadway and Yarmouth. We've had a five-car crash tying up that intersection. Of course, continued problems southbound 25 south of Castle Rock, where we're clearing out a series of crashes, and Highway 58 was still closed at I-70 due to black ice. Weather today, light snow showers early, afternoon clearing, cold 38, currently 25 degrees. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
It's the last week of the Office Depot 20th anniversary event, and they have incredible savings on paper store-wide, like 20% off a 10-round case of Office Depot brand white copy paper. Office Depot, taking care of business, in-store only while supplies last.
North Korea says, we're going to test this, and we're going to test that, and we're going to have a Taipong Dungy thing, and then we're going to have an underground Denny Hastert either fell off a mountain or a 4.2 on the Richter scale is accomplished by exploding some nuclear weapon thing. Until you talk to me!
Randy Rhodes.
It's like two spoiled, rotten children. Put them in the overhead compartment and let's get on with the flight to freedom!
Weekdays at 4 on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
The Army National Guard.
My name is Cheryl Hatcher. I joined the National Guard because of September 11th. I wanted to make the difference in the world. The Guard is a huge help to the community. It's amazing just the support that we give to the community and that the community gives to us. If you were someone coming to me saying, I want to join the Guard, I would absolutely say that it's really one of the best decisions. We're going to give you your education. No, there's no way of saying, you know, I can't afford it. Hear the story about how the Guard changed my life at 1-800-GO-GUARD.com.
Sponsored by the Colorado National Guard. Aired by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the person we all know is the strongest candidate in this race.
Thank you, thank you. I'm glad you all invited me here today. The fact is, I really have nothing to say, except
I'm handsome, I'm funny, I tell a good joke. I'll hug you, I'll kiss you, I don't even smoke. My family is impeccable, my past quite respectable. Vote for me, assuredly, but don't ask about Social Security. Come have some pie with me.
Don't
don't fall for the song and dance. Vote the issues, not just the personality. Find out where the candidates stand on health care reform and Social Security. Learn where they stand on the issues that will affect you long after the voting booths close. And then make an informed decision this November. To find out more, visit don'tvote.com or call 1-800-830-7844. And get your AARP Voter's Guide. Paid for by AARP.
It's 8:51. It's 51 minutes past the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. And Rocky's Autos want you to know that this is the last month to take advantage of their matching down incentive. The program will not be available after the end of this month. And that's where you put $1,500 down, and they put $1,500 down, and you've got $3,000 down to your next automobile. And the program will end when this month does end. And every vehicle at Rocky's Autos has been winterized, so you can drive away knowing that you're in top condition for another Colorado winter. It's also a great time to shop for a new all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, or four-wheel drive vehicle to help get you through the winter driving conditions. And Rocky's always does a great job decking their showroom out with all the holiday stuff, and the Halloween decorations are up, and they've got a huge pile of Halloween pumpkins. Rocky's customers can take a Halloween pumpkin home to their family absolutely free. That's at Rocky's Autos. You can get your Halloween pumpkin, one per customer, absolutely free. Rocky's Autos, the home of the largest selection of clean late model vehicles, clean late model used vehicles. They have over 600 vehicles on the lot. They've got everything you can think of. Volkswagen, Saab, Pontiac, Honda, Toyota, Nissan, Dodge, Ford, Chevy, and, of course, a great bunch of folks to deal with, like my friends the Alshears, Tom and Marv Alshear, good people, and Fred Labrato and Gerard Menard, and the list of folks who work out there, Jim Monroe. It just goes on and on and on, and I just don't have time to get them all in. Check out Rocky's Autos inventory and pre-qualify for a car loan. Ask for Steve, he does that, at rockysautos.com. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they've been family-owned and operated since 1982. And don't forget, this is the last month to take advantage of their matching down incentive. This program is not going to be available after October. So stop in, take advantage, and on top of that, get your free pumpkin. Rocky's Autos, they're located at the corner of 63rd and Federal.
Your kids have better things to do than drugs, so get them involved in positive educational activities. Taking part in sports, music, and after-school programs will help keep kids active and drug-free. A message from ABC Seamless Siding Company of Denver, a community-minded business serving our area with integrity and pride. They specialize in installation of seamless steel siding for residential properties. Also, for any gutter work you need, call Nancy at ABC Seamless Siding Company of Denver today for a free estimate, 303-759-3854. For ABC Seamless Siding Company of Denver, on the air because they care.
A talk show that thinks like you. The Jay Marvin Show on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Good morning. It's 8:54, 54 minutes past the hour. High today, 43. Mostly cloudy with flurries, but right now it's blue out there with snow on the ground. And be careful, because some of the roads could be wet and slick. And thank you, everybody, who has called in this morning and been on the program. We saved this little tidbit for later, and I want to play it for you now. There's no need for me to go to the wire service and read for you what's going on in Iraq. I think everyone knows what's going on over there with the ongoing violence and the fact that the violence has spiraled upward. And as far as American casualties go, this month has been one of the worst months since the beginning of the war, and there are numerous people coming out and saying that the United States and the coalition forces are losing control of the country, and that the place is in a mess and continues to get worse and worse. All right, so what do you do if you're the administration? What do you do if you're the administration and you have a midterm election coming up? I'll tell you what you do. You go and you try to rally the base. And one of the best ways to do that is you go on right-wing talk radio. Here is Dick Cheney. Listen to what Dick Cheney says about Iraq. Here's Dick Cheney and Rush Limbaugh talking together.
It's clear, to me anyway, that you and the White House are not changing policy on this at all, that the operating policy here is victory. Is the perception that victory is possible strong enough? Is that possibility being laid out in strong enough terms to the American people? Do they think it's possible, or are they beginning to doubt that it can happen?
Well, I think there's some natural level of concern out there because, in fact, you know, it wasn't over instantaneously. It's been a little over 3 years now since we went into Iraq, so I don't think it's surprising that people are concerned. On the other hand, this government's only been in office about 5 months, 5 or 6 months now. They're off to a good start. It is difficult, no question about it, but we've now got over 300,000 Iraqis trained and equipped as part of their security forces. They've had three national elections with higher turnout than we have here in the United States. If you look at the general overall situation, they're doing remarkably well.
They're doing remarkably well. It wouldn't end as soon as we thought it would. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you tell us that we would be greeted as liberators with flowers and candy? And if what you call going on now, Mr. Vice President, is remarkably well, what's remarkably bad? Don't you find that to be unbelievable? Now, there's two things you can come away with on this. One, they're not living in reality in this administration. They don't know reality, so they're living in some kind of fantasy world. Or two, they do know what the reality is, but they're getting on programs where they get friendly reception, like Rush Limbaugh's show, and they flat out and out lie to their followers. And in turn, they stand up in public and also lie. Because, remarkably well, but what, with all these deaths, that's remarkably well? Unbelievable, isn't it? All right, we're going to open phones after 9 o'clock. Anything you want to talk about at 303-713-7600, Iraq, North Korea, anything, local elections, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, we'll go there on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
This is Al Franken, AM 760 Progressive Talk, broadcast in high definition. Why? Because it just sounds so darn good. Find out how to get your hands on an HD radio on AM760.net.
Travelocity presents the Gigantenormous Sale.
Holiday, here I come!
Save $100 instantly on your vacation.
Smashing!
Plus, get $200 off your next one.
Cha-ching, bada-bing!
Hurry, save up to $300.
300 buckaroos? That's mucho moolah!
Book now. Sale ends November 16th. Restrictions apply. For details and other great deals, visit Travelocity.com or AOL keyword travel. Travelocity. You'll never roam alone.
When it rains, all my friends go away. Mommy scared the sky.
What's going on in the mind of a child who's lived through a hurricane?
You can drown in your bed if you fall asleep.
A lot. Talk to them. Reassure them. We can help. Call 1-800-789-2647. Trained and caring people are ready to assist you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Progressive traffic and your forecast coming up after noon on AM 760 Progressive Talk. KKCN Thornton, Denver Boulder. And on AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. From the opening bell, a buying surge on Wall Street, pushing the Dow Jones Industrial Average above 12,000 for the first time.
It's not just a number. It's an important milestone for Wall Street. It's psychologically important for investors to see that Wall Street continues to break records.
CBS News business correspondent Alexis Christophorus.
We're in the thick of earnings season right now. If the numbers continue to come in strong, you can see this rally continue into the next few weeks and perhaps even have a Santa Claus rally by the end of the year.
The Dow is now settled back below 12,000 now. Social Security recipients are in for about $33 extra a month on average, the government announcing a 3.3% cost of living adjustment a few hours ago. The numbers from Iraq are startling. 10 American troops killed, bringing this month's total to almost 70.
The deaths happened in and around Baghdad from roadside bombs and enemy fire. More U.S. troops are based in and around the capital to stop the sectarian violence here. They've increased patrols, making them more visible and more vulnerable.
That's CBS's Cammie McCormick in Baghdad. On Capitol Hill, Louisiana Republican Rodney Alexander goes behind closed doors to answer questions from the House Ethics Committee about the Mark Foley email scandal. Alexander sponsored a congressional page and received online messages from the disgraced former congressman. Well, since the email scandal broke, a lot of parents have been buying the newest software to protect their kids and keep tabs on what they're doing online. Software maker Joe Carrizo sells one called Century Remote.
The parent has the option of either telling the child that this parental control software is installed on their computer, or the parent can just keep it in total stealth mode where the child has no idea.
To hear some people in Buffalo tell it, their city is this year's New Orleans. Officials critical of FEMA and the government's response to the big snowstorm last week.
What we need and what we deserve, based on the facts, is a major declaration, a major emergency here.
That's local Congressman Brian Higgins, who says the federal money sent so far to four counties is not enough. 5 days after the storm, tens of thousands still don't have power. The new math. CBS's Jim Shenevy says a fresh study is likely to raise some classroom questions.
Does math turn you off? If so, that's good, at least according to a Brookings Institution study. It found that the more students complained about math, the better they did. Study author Tom Lovelace suspects the kids who like math may be getting a sugar coating from teachers.
Are they targeting the content of mathematics? Is that what they're about? Or are they about the happiness factor and making kids enjoy school? And, are they simply sound? Do they get to the mathematics and nothing but the mathematics?
Lovelace says when it comes to math, happiness just doesn't add up. Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
Right now, the Dow is up 35 points at 11,985, NASDAQ off 5. This is CBS News.
Please don't make me decorate this weekend.
Fine. No decorating this weekend.
Really?
Sure. Monday will be just fine.
Oh, man. I knew it.
It's the October Savings Event at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on paints and stains and 15% on Duration Premium Coatings. Save an extra 10% on custom order wallpaper and get free shipping, too. Hurry. Sale ends Monday, October 23rd.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Why should buying a used car be any different than buying a new car? Shouldn't you be able to go to a dealer and feel completely confident about your purchase? Well, if it's a Honda certified used car, you can. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. They'll even provide you with a Carfax vehicle history report. See? Confidence restored. Honda certified used cars. They're the next best thing to new.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Good morning, I'm Corey Lopez with an AM 760 local news update. No matter where you are, whether the roads look wet or snowy, there could be ice. Best tip of the day, slow down. Black ice, big problem out on the plains near Lyman on I-70.
Well, as more cars, people are coming to work right now, the backup looks, oh gosh, I'm probably looking at a good 2.5 miles.
As the sun comes up, those roads will dry off just a little bit. Trucks lining up on the signs of the interstate, though, near Lyman. A teen who was killed in a crash north of Fort Collins earlier this month had drugs in his system. Toxicology reports indicate 18-year-old Benjamin Moden had a mix of marijuana, cocaine, and ecstasy when he died October 8th in a crash on I-25. Another passenger seriously injured in that crash. Moden was the driver in a May 2005 northern Colorado crash that killed two teenage passengers. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Corey Lopez. Now, Gina Michaels with AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Well, metro area issues, we do have a couple of problems for your ramp from Auraria to southbound 25. Still a bit clogged, 38 to Spear on I-25 and I-70. Pretty busy cutting across the city. Busy as well on the Boulder Turnpike, both directions. We got that wreck out of the way, though, eastbound from Table Mesa. Off the highway 38th in Colorado, we've got a water.
I'm Mike Shanahan of the Denver Broncos. Some things I keep secret, like the running back rotation. Other things I share. For mortgages, go see my friends in American Financing.
Thanks, Coach. This is Damian Maldonado, founder of American Financing. We're locally owned and operated. We have no commission loan officers, so our only job is to get you the best loan possible.
Damian, tell us about the Magic Mortgage.
The Magic Mortgage lets you select the payment that's best for your budget. You can choose a regular payment, interest only, or convert it to a 15-year loan without requalifying. You can change your monthly payment any month or every month. Whether you need a refi or a new home loan, we have the widest range of products.
So you make the call. Tell them Mike Shanahan sent you and your appraisal's free. Make the right move. Call my team of experts at American Financing.
We're redefining how home mortgages are done. Call us now at 303-695-7000. That's 695-7000. Or on the net at AmericanFinancing.net.
Online advertising spending is expected to grow drastically in 2006 as more companies realize that internet advertising can be effective and affordable. Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how you can get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Give us a call and find out if internet advertising can make your business money. Call 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Good morning, 906, 6 minutes after 9, high today 43, and they say snow flurries in the forecast, but it looks clear and blue out there, at least right now. Okay, it's open phones at 303-713-7600, and it's anything you want to talk about is fine, and I got four open lines. We've also got this thing that I sandbagged from Keith Oberman last night, and it's long. I think it's somewhere, it runs somewhere about 8 or 9 minutes, but he talks about Bush signing the detainee bill, and it has a interview with Lawrence Turley, I believe, constitutional expert, about the whole detainee bill and about right of habeas corpus, and I'm going to get and try to get into that sometime this hour. We don't have to play it now. I mean, I could, you know, if you want to call and you want to talk about something else, or you want to get into something else, I got three lines open and we can do that. Or what I'll turn around and do is I'll just play the Oberman cut so you can hear it. I know I've had several people say to me, "Well, why aren't you speaking out more about this?" But we have spoke out about it, and I have talked about it at great length. And we've talked about it before, and yesterday was a sad, sad day in this country's history when it comes to civil liberties and decency and human rights. But we have talked about it, and we've had numerous people on from the ACLU and the Center for Constitutional Responsibility and a lot of other organizations to talk about it. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Dave in the West Highland. Dave, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. Loving the show as usual.
Thank you.
I'm thinking about the Tom Foley incident, how, you know, everybody was sort of shocked that this child predator was on the committee to protect children and the irony of that and all that. And I'm thinking this is typical of the Bush administration. They always put foxes in charge of the hen house. You know, like you put oil guys in charge of the energy policy, et cetera.
Well, I don't know if this situation would be typical. I think this would be typical of a situation of politicians not knowing how to handle something and either blowing it off, not wanting to face it, or panicking, and then moving in some way, shape, or form to cover it up. And then, this, you know, it's always the cover-up that gets you in trouble. It's never the crime. And now it looks like the leadership got together and they tried to cover the deal up. And you've got finger pointing going on, where you got Boehner pointing at Hastert, you got Hastert pointing at Boehner, you got Boehner pointing at Reynolds, you got Reynolds pointing at Hastert. I mean, you got it going around all over the place here, and you've got them. You've also got the GOP and all of their spokesfolks. I mean, all the people that are out there trying to shape public opinion. You've got them out there dodging responsibility for the whole thing and trying to pin it on the media and pin it on liberals and pin it on Democrats and pin it on this and pin it on that instead of taking responsibility and saying, okay, guess what? We should have done something about this guy and we screwed it up.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting dimension, and it's really fun to watch, you know, if you're not a Republican. But I'm just thinking, you know, for example, the polluters, you know, are in charge of the EPA now.
Oh, yeah, no question.
That sort of thing. It's not criminal, per se, but it's really, like, exactly the wrong guy to be in that position.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and they have that throughout the federal agencies. You're right about that.
I'm going to switch topics on you here completely.
Sure.
Kim Jong-il. I don't know if I dreamed it or if I heard it somewhere, but I got this idea that the reason it was such a low-yield explosion is because they're testing the trigger for a hydrogen bomb. You know, you have this small nuclear explosion that sets off the real explosion. You know what I'm saying?
The bomb is what, plutonium?
You know, there's a certain small-yield atomic weapon where you split the atom. But a hydrogen bomb is where you fuse atoms. You know, it's a a different kind of weapon, much, much, much stronger. And so, I don't know, somewhere I got this idea that he is working on a hydrogen bomb, not just an atomic weapon. We're talking about something that'll, you know, take out New York City instead of Colorado Springs.
Yeah, that part I don't know about, but I do know that he shows signs, and it's all over the news, that he's going to do it again. And the Chinese have said to him, hey, don't ratchet up tensions in the area, chill out. And he doesn't seem to even want to listen to them. And most people that we've talked to on the show over the last couple of days believe that these sanctions basically are just not going to work.
I also get the impression that, you know, if everything they say about this guy is true, that he is, you know, such a one-man show over there. It seems like, I hate to even contemplate this, but it seems like a decapitation, an assassination would solve a lot of problems. That if you get rid of that one person, you've effectively ended that state. That it's not supported by the whole society. The whole society is sort of oppressed by the structure of this government. And if you get a different guy in there, the things would change dramatically. I don't know. I'm totally guessing. But.
Well, he's got the military to prop him up. He's got a million-man army, and he's got the people around him, and he takes care of them, and they take care of the military, while the average citizen, you're right, basically gets nothing, and they've got starvation, and it's unstable. And
don't you get the impression that the country is like one giant cult?
Yeah, very much, you know, very much so.
That's what I'm saying.
Very, very much so. I mean, you ever see any documentaries on the place?
Yeah.
You know, where they stand in the streets and cry and talk about dear leader and dear leader's son and all of that. Yeah, but I think there's
divinity over there. You know, he's considered a god, and how backward is that?
But I think there's also other people over there too who know that this is BS, but they can't do anything about it. I fascinate on the idea that if he gave the Chinese too much trouble and didn't listen to them, and they didn't want to destabilize him and have this massive refugee problem, wonder why the Chinese wouldn't, and this would be a total and complete reversal for the way they look at things, because they don't believe in being involved in intervention in other countries, but wonder why they just wouldn't go in there and try to engineer some kind of a coup and put a government in there that would be friendly to what China wants, so that they could have that buffer zone between South Korea, which is a democracy, and China, which basically is not, and they could have North Korea do exactly what they want them to do.
It does seem like they just like the fact that they're communists. It's like having another democracy right on your border. From our perspective, we want democracies all around us. Well, they're communists, so they want communism all around them.
Yeah, but if the government of North Korea is acting irrational, why not go in there and try to get control of them?
Yeah, that whole idea of assassination, being able to, reverse almost everything. Maybe they know that. Maybe they're looking at that. Maybe they control Kim Jong-il.
Well, they control him to a certain extent, to the fact that they're the main supplier of food and fuel.
Right,
and
definitely having him over a barrel.
And they've got him over a barrel, but they seem reluctant to be able to want to tighten that. Because what they don't want is they don't want a flood of refugees pouring over into China seeking food and shelter. But I just wonder about the idea of them, and I suppose they probably would never do it, but I wonder about the idea of them going in and setting up a government that is friendly to them, similar to what the Vietnamese did to the Cambodians when they just got tired of the killing fields and the Khmer Rouge, so they went in there and invaded the country and chased the Khmer Rouge out of power.
It must be a pretty bad situation when China taking over seems like a better option.
Well, China's got a better standard of living.
Yeah, you know, I don't really quite get all the fear mongering that goes on about that country.
About China?
Yeah.
Well, you can't totally trust them, and they hold too much of our foreign currency. They hold too much of our currency.
That's it. It's just plain old fear, isn't it? They're just so big.
Well, they're going to do what they're interested in.
How do you stop an army that has 100 million guys in it?
Well, you don't. In China's case, you don't, because we're economically interwoven, so it would be bad news for both countries. But with North Korea, you're sitting in a different situation. But we don't have the manpower, we don't have the wherewithal, and the neighbors don't have the desire for us to even look at the North Koreans militarily. And those people, talking heads who sit on TV and you know, they want direct action against Pyongyang. They want direct action against Tehran. Well, okay, what army have they ever served in?
You know, one thing, another thing that I never hear in all these debates is, you know, people tend to forget that the United States has thousands of nuclear missiles. You know, thousands of them. We're worried about a test of one.
Well,
you know, we don't want other countries to get the bomb, but I mean, it's a little bit hypocritical to say you can't have it, but we can have thousands of them.
Well, because you got two problems. Number one, you don't want an arms race on that peninsula, and then on top of that, who's to say they're not going to take that stuff and deal it for cash to some terrorist organization who would then use it against us?
Everybody's greatest fear right there.
Well, they're unstable, and you really can't trust them. Dave, thank you, man.
I love it.
Okay, talk to you.
Adios.
One line open at 303-713-7609.
Okay, for all you people who wear glasses, open your eyes. Your glasses aren't doing jack to improve your natural eyesight. Not one thing. Oh, don't get me wrong. You may be able to see better when you put them on, but glasses are nothing more than a crutch. A momentary patch job on a problem that may actually be improved by you. And I'm not talking about LASIK or some other surgery with people poking around your eyeballs. No, I'm talking about a simple system from Vision Improvement Technology that you can do on your own that just may strengthen your natural eyesight and help you start seeing more clearly. The award-winning doctors who created it believe it can totally eliminate or reduce your dependence on glasses or contacts once and for all. This is for real. It's a real system created by real doctors. But don't take our word for it. Let us send you a free video to see this program firsthand for yourself. A free video just for calling. Call 1-800-220-1174. That's 1-800-220-1174. 1-800-220-1174.
We're talking with Paul Dow from Timeshares Only. Paul, I hear you've just come out with this great new kit that you're giving away?
Yeah, it's called The Top 10 Secrets to Buying and Selling Timeshares, and it's just a phenomenal resource for anybody looking to sell their timeshare.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, first of all, it tells you what your timeshare is really worth.
Uh-huh.
And more importantly, how to sell it for top dollar. Well, there are thousands of people out there just waiting to buy your timeshare, but you sort of need to learn the secrets to getting the most cash for it.
And the kit is free.
Yes, but it's only a limited time offer, so you need to call our toll-free number now, and we'll rush it right out.
Well, sounds like a pretty sweet thing for really anybody who owns a timeshare.
It really is. It could make you thousands of dollars.
Well, okay, the top 10 secrets to buying and selling timeshares. Here's the phone number to call. It's 1-800-550-7870. Again, that's 1-800-550-7870. 1-800-550-7870.
Do you know the secrets to making money on the Internet and with online auctions? People are making so much cash on the Internet, including the Internet's largest marketplace, eBay, that they're actually quitting their jobs. And so can you, with a CD called The Secrets to Online Auctions, which is yours absolutely free of charge by calling right now 1-800-226-9008. Hurry, there's only a limited number of these free CDs available. 1-800-226-9008. This free CD is brought to you by Internet Speedway, a group of professionals who've made fortunes with the Internet and sites like eBay. Now, for the first time, they're sharing their tips with the general public. With this free CD, you'll learn how you can sell products on the Internet that you'll never have to see, store, or even pay for. Learn the simple strategies to online auctions from the professionals. Request your free CD called The Secrets to Online Auctions while supplies last. Just call 1-800-226-9008. The sooner you call, the sooner you'll know the secrets to true Internet wealth. That's 1-800-226-9008.
State Advocate, every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on AM 760.
The J. Marvin Show on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Good morning. It's 9:20, 20 minutes after 9. High today, 43. Mostly cloudy with some snow flurries, but blue as can be out there right now. Open phones. One line open at 303-713-7600. Anything you want to talk about, we'll certainly get into it. I'm going to play that Keith Olbermann cut coming up, too, here in a little bit. Let's go to John in Golden. John, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay. Good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for doing what you're doing.
Well, you got it.
The last caller was concerned about why we are afraid of China, and one thing to remember is that China also has an advanced weapons program, and they're willing and capable of selling it all around the world to people who are far less than favorable to the U.S., like Iran and other countries, and that's a great concern, and it should be on everybody's mind.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with that, that's for sure.
What I'm actually calling about is As a 20-year union member, having been involved with scores of safety programs, no matter how well they were designed, unless the members were proactive, they never succeeded. And here I see the administration hammering the Democrats as not being safe on terror, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't see the Democrats picking up the ball in terms of exploiting things that the Republicans are doing that aren't favorable to fighting terrorism. For example, the report that came from the Colorado prison where they're not monitoring the mail from high security risk prisoners, some of them in there for terrorism offenses, because we don't have the money to have translators. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, what do you think's the answer?
Well, I don't know. Finding some way to have the Democratic Party have a more united voice. It's easy for the party in power to be able to have a spokesperson like the president. He opens his mouth, and it's on every media outlet.
Well, the reason when the president, though, opens his mouth and it's on every media outlet is because the Republican Party has spent 30 years putting a media structure together. We haven't spent that 30 years. We've just gotten started on ours, and it's going to take us a long, long time to get it done.
That's true, but the way that the elections and the election voting machines operate, that makes me more than a little concerned.
Well, vote absentee.
I am, but the point is also we have to find some way to have a voice that continually pounds these items back at them rather than just being taking a defensive posture.
Well, I think we're creating that voice, and I think that we're in the process. Those of us who are on the progressive and liberal side, we're in the process of creating that infrastructure. It's not going to be easy, and it's going to have its stumbles and pitfalls, but we're doing it, and we're far more ahead of the game now than we were 3, 4, or 5 years ago. So we just have to keep building on it and just keep working on it. And the other thing is, a lot of the Republican, a lot of the conservative, a lot of the right-wing positions are easier to put on a postcard than our liberal and progressive positions. You got to think some of those through sometimes. So that's also another problem. But we can influence coverage, and we can break down the conventional wisdom echo chamber. We just have to keep working on it and keep getting it done through organizations like Media Matters for America and other groups that are out there that are determined to make it happen.
And radio programs like yours.
Well, I don't know how much effect that has, but we're trying.
It does, because it allows people to have a voice. They think about it, and they want to express themselves, and it allows them to do it. So keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Two lines open at 303-713-7600. Somebody pointed out to me in the email, too, or it was an instant message at am760.com. We were talking about Tom Foley. It's Mark Foley is the congressman, not Tom Foley. Okay. Which is an easy mistake to make. Let's go to Aaron in the Fort Collins. Aaron, you're on AM760. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jay. First of all, I want to join the last caller in saying thank you to you for doing what you do, and I also want to say that it's really good to talk to you this morning. I had a question about yesterday's signing of the interrogation bill by Mr. Bush, and I want to say that I agree with you fully when you say that it's a sad day for America, and frankly, it scared the hell out of me. My question to you is whether or not is there going to be some sort of a challenge as to the constitutionality and legitimacy of that bill?
Yeah.
The review, perhaps?
Yes, there is going to be one. The question is, what's going to happen in the Supreme Court where it will ultimately end up? But, yes, somebody will challenge it. If they haven't done it already, it'll be done in a matter of days.
Well, I hope to God that the Constitution will outweigh any partisan sway that the review might have.
Well, we're looking at a more conservative court than it used to be. So you got Roberts, you got Scalia, you got Alito, you got those folks. Who knows how this thing is gonna end up? But the thing is, at least it's gonna get challenged. Yeah, somebody's gonna try to challenge it, and it's a wrong-headed, bad bill, and people like John McCain and others have basically lied to the American public about it because it still permits the use of torture, and it's sad. I mean, the habeas corpus and all of that stuff missing, I mean, it's just really a bad situation.
It makes me sick, and it's sad, and I really hope that good prevails here and that we bring this country back to where it needs to be. I also have one more question about the ballot this year. I'm having trouble finding information on the judges. I never know how to find information on these judges to see how they've been making their decisions and whether or not I should vote for them to stay in their seats or not.
Yeah, most people have trouble finding that information, too, and there are some websites out there. You just have to go out there and Google them and try to find them, but most of the websites will tell you exactly the same thing. Most of the websites urge that you vote to retain the judges.
Okay. Do you have any examples of where I might be able to go to get some factual information to make an informed decision?
Not on hand, but somebody sent it to me yesterday, and I had it, and I don't know what I did with it, but I had it in the email. Somebody sent it to me. You might want to try calling the League of Women Voters and asking them where to get it. Also,
okay.
I think some of those judges are profiled in the back of the blue book that was mailed to you.
Yes.
So check it out. It's in the very back.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Well, thanks for your help, Jay, and keep on doing what you're doing, man. I love your show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep.
You got it. All right. Let's go to Dave in Lakewood. Dave, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, well, good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm all right.
I was just listening to Mike the Mouth Rosen, and he's having a debate this morning at 10 o'clock with Beaupre and Ritter. And I won't be able to listen to it. I wished I could, but I just was wondering if somebody could listen and hear how right-wing leaning this is going to be. I know that Perlmutter turned him down. He wouldn't do a debate with O'Donnell on the Mike Rosen show. But for some reason, Ritter agreed to do it.
Well, I don't know how it's how right-wing it's going to be. I don't know how good it's going to be because I got to be honest with you, I don't listen. So I don't know. I'll have to find out afterwards, but I have and I'll ask Ed Perlmutter if I get a chance as to why he didn't appear yesterday, but Bill Ritter is very capable of walking into the lion's den and handling it.
I agree with that. I know he is. But you know, listen to Mike Rosen, I know if he's setting it up, he's out to embarrass Ritter, and I don't think Ritter's going to let that happen.
No, I don't think so either.
And you know Beaupre wouldn't come on a left-wing talk show.
No,
no way he would.
No, we'd never get him over here. You're right about that.
No, and but I would just want to let you know that, and maybe if somebody could listen to it, then report on it tomorrow morning.
Yeah, maybe somebody can fill us in as to what happened.
Yeah, I got one quick question for you, and I never heard. Did we ever get on Armed Forces Radio or not?
I believe Ed is on Armed Forces Radio. I am not sure about Air America as a whole, and I am not sure about Al Franken, but I know I believe Ed is on Armed Forces Radio.
Okay, because that's the one that they were fighting for and trying to keep him off there. I didn't know if he made it or didn't make it.
I believe he did. I think he did make it.
Good. Okay.
All right.
That's all I got. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Dave, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Two lines open at 303-713-7600. You want to play that Oberman thing coming up after the news? Yeah, we'll play that. It's a rather long piece. We'll play it coming up right after the news. What's wrong with me? But right after we take a look at traffic, and then we'll play it. It's on this detainee bill that was signed yesterday, and it runs long, and we thank MSNBC for providing it, and we'll play it here coming up. It's 9:30 at AM 760 Progressive Talk. Here's traffic with Gina.
All right, Jay. Well, it's much quieter now. We're wrapping up the commute with just a couple of slow pockets eastbound 270, Vasquez, I-25 southbound at Spear. We do have a new problem. It's a jackknife semi. It's watch out for it on the eastbound lanes of County Line Road just east of I-25 there in Arapahoe County. You could use Dry Creek or Arapahoe Road around it. Outside the city, eastbound a two-car on the ramp from Foothills for your ride out of Boulder. Weather today, light snow showers early afternoon, clearing, cold 38, currently 28 degrees. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Let Freeway Ford give you the edge this winter with a loaded 05 Explorer 4x4 for just $15.99. That's right, while supplies last, get a loaded.
Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how to get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Call 303-713-8318. 303-713-8318.
Do you know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right. The secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read one. Hi, I'm Steve Glick, CEO of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret, developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your whole family. Kids do better in school, teens can actually score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo is only available for a limited time. Call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-398-4022. That's 1-800-398-4022. 1-800-398-4022.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Sir, what would you do without glass?
Well, I'd be picking a lot more bugs out of my teeth.
And you, ma'am?
I'd be able to walk around naked all day. Woo!
What do you like most about glass?
I like how, you can see through it.
And you?
I like how it holds beer.
But, as everyone knows, glass breaks. And when it does, call Shock Glass at 720-266-4914. They're the insurance specialist and will handle all the paperwork for you. Home, auto, or commercial, when glass breaks, think Shock Glass at 720-266-4914.
20. That's 303-C-2020.
Hi, it's Al Franken. I'm coming up after Jay on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning. 9:33, 33 minutes past the hour. High today, 43, and looks nice out there right now. They had talked about maybe some cloudiness and snow flurries. AM 760, Progressive Talk. This show available on podcast at am760.net or instant message me at am760.net. All right, this was Keith Olbermann last night, the number five story about the detainee bill that Bush signed. And it runs a little long, but it's definitely worth hearing, and I want to play it for you right now.
History does not play well at this White House. Expressionless faces would probably greet references to how John Adams ended his political career by insisting he needed the Alien and Sedition Acts to silence his critics in the newspapers, or how Franklin D. Roosevelt's executive order to seize Japanese Americans during World War II necessitated a formal presidential apology 8 presidents later. But even so, somebody probably should have told President Bush that today was the exact 135th anniversary to the day that President Grant suspended habeas corpus in much of South Carolina for the noble and urgent purpose of dispersing the Ku Klux Klan and making sure the freed slaves had all their voting rights, neither of which has yet truly occurred. Your principal defense against imprisonment without charge and trial without defense, thrown away for no good reason, then and now. Our fifth story on the countdown. President Bush, happy habeas corpus day. First thing this morning, the president signed into law the Military Commissions Act of 2006, which does away with habeas corpus, the right of suspected terrorists or anybody else to know why they have been in prison, provided the president does not think it should apply to you and declares you an enemy combatant. Further, the bill allows the CIA to continue using interrogation techniques so long as they do not cause what is deemed, quote, serious physical or mental pain. And it lets the president to ostensibly pick and choose which parts of the Geneva Convention to obey. Though to hear him describe this repudiation of the freedoms for which all our soldiers have died, is a good thing.
This bill spells out specific, recognizable offenses that would be considered crimes in the handling of detainees, so that our men and women who question captured terrorists can perform their duties to the fullest extent of the law. And this bill complies with both the spirit and the letter of our international obligations.
Leading Democrats view it differently. Senator Ted Kennedy calling this seriously flawed. Senator Patrick Leahy saying it's, quote, a sad day when the rubber-stamped Congress undercuts our freedoms. And Senator Russ Feingold adding that we will look back on this day as a stain on our nation's history. Outside the White House, a handful of individuals protested the law by dressing up as Abu Ghraib abuse victims and terror detainees. Several of them got themselves arrested, though they were apparently quickly released, despite being already dressed for Gitmo. To assess what this law will truly mean for us all, I'm joined by Jonathan Turley, professor of constitutional law at George Washington University. As always, sir, great thanks for your time.
Thanks, Keith.
I want to start by asking you about a specific part of this act that lists one of the definitions of an unlawful enemy combatant as, quote, a person who, before, on, or after the date of the enactment of the Military Commissions Act of 2006, has been determined to be an unlawful enemy combatant by a combatant status review tribunal or another competent tribunal established under the authority of the President or the Secretary of Defense. Does that not basically mean that if Mr. Bush or Mr. Rumsfeld say so, anybody in this country, citizen or not, innocent or not, can end up being an unlawful enemy combatant?
It certainly does. In fact, later on, it says that if you even give material support to an organization that the president deems is connected to one of these groups, you too can be an enemy combatant. And the fact that he appoints this tribunal is meaningless. You know, standing behind him at the signing ceremony was his attorney general, who signed a memo that said that you could torture people, that you could do harm to them to the point of organ failure or death. So if he appoints someone like that to be attorney general, you can imagine who he's going to be putting on this board.
Does this mean that under this law, ultimately, the only thing keeping you, I, or the viewer out of Gitmo is the sanity and honesty of the President of the United States?
It does, and it's a huge sea change for our democracy. And the framers created a system where we did not have to rely on the good graces or good mood of the president. In fact, Madison said that he created a system essentially to be run by devils, where they could not do harm because we didn't rely on their good motivations. Now we must, and people have no idea how significant this is, what a time of shame this is for the American system. What the Congress did and what the president signed today essentially revokes over 200 years of American principles and values. It couldn't be more significant. And the strange thing is we become sort of constitutional couch potatoes. I mean, the Congress just gave the president despotic powers. And you could hear the yawn across the country as people turned to, you know, Dancing with the Stars. I mean, it's otherworldly.
Is there one defense against this, the legal challenges against particularly the suspension or elimination of habeas corpus from the equation, and where do they stand, and how likely are they to overturn this action today?
Well, you know what? I think people are fooling themselves if they believe that the courts will once again stop this president from taking almost absolute power. It basically comes down to a single vote on the Supreme Court, Justice Kennedy. And he indicated that if Congress gave the president these types of powers, that he might go along. And so we may have in this country some type of uber president, some absolute ruler. And it'll be up to him who gets put away as an enemy combatant held without trial. It's something that no one thought, certainly I didn't think, was possible in the United States. And I'm not too sure how we got to this point. But people clearly don't realize what a fundamental change it is about who we are as a country. What happened today changed us, and I'm not too sure we're going to change back anytime soon.
And if Justice Kennedy tries to change us back, we can always call him an enemy combatant. The president reiterated today the United States does not torture. Does this law actually guarantee anything like that?
That's actually when I turned off my TV, I said, because I couldn't believe it. You know, the United States has engaged in torture. And the whole world community has denounced the views of this administration. Its early views that the president could order torture, could cause injury up to organ failure or death. The administration has already established that it has engaged in things like waterboarding, which is not just torture. We prosecuted people after World War II for waterboarding prisoners. We treated it as a war crime. And my God, what a change of fate, where we are now embracing the very thing that we once prosecuted people for. Who are we now? I know who we were then. But when the president said that we don't torture, that was frankly when I had to turn off my TV set.
That same individual fell back on the same argument that he'd used about the war in Iraq to sanction this law. Let me play what he said and then ask your question about it.
Yet with the distance of history, the questions would be narrowed and few. Did this generation of Americans take the threat seriously? And did we do what it takes to defeat that threat?
Does he understand the irony of those words when taken out of the context of this particular passage or of what he perceives as the war against terror, and that, in fact, the threat we may be facing is the threat of President George W. Bush?
Well, this is going to go down in history as one of our greatest self-inflicted wounds, and I think you can feel the judgment of history. It won't be kind to President Bush, but frankly, I don't think it'll be kind to the rest of us. I think that history will ask, where were you? What did you do when this thing was signed into law? There were people that protested the Japanese concentration camps. Mm-hmm. There were people that protested these other acts. But we are strangely silent in this national yawn as our rights evaporate.
Well, where were you? I mean, I was sending emails to Salazar and to Allard and got form letters back, basically from both. Sad. It's really sad constitutionally. What this country has become. 9:42, it's 18 minutes away from 10 o'clock. It's open phones. Three lines open at 303-713-7600. You want to comment on that Oberman piece or anything else that you want to talk about. We got a little under 20 minutes to visit together. And I got three lines open at 303-713-7600. Let's take a look at traffic with Rick Morgan.
Thanks a lot, Jay. We're in pretty good shape on the highways right now. Good speeds on I-25 as you head across downtown. Same with I-70, 225, and 470 off the highway. We do have some problem if you're leaving the downtown area. You might be backed up on Auraria Parkway as you attempt to get on southbound I-25. Earlier accident on the ramp there. And we do have a jackknife semi eastbound on County Line Road, just east of I-25, backing things up through there. The rest of the drive, though, in pretty good shape. And one small problem there on the ramp from Foothills to eastbound Boulder Turnpike. A couple of cars involved in an accident there. But the forecast, partly sunny, still chilly today, high of around 40, partly cloudy tonight, lows back in the 20s, and breezy in the 50s tomorrow. Right now it's up to 31 degrees. Rick Morgan, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
It's the last week of the Office Depot 20th anniversary event, and they have incredible savings on paper store-wide, like 20% off a 10-round case of Office Depot brand white copy paper. Office Depot, taking care of business, in-store only, while supplies last.
We've received some fantastic entries for the AM 760 Progressive Radio Star Contest.
Good morning, Denver.
Good day, fellow Americans.
Good day and welcome.
Just give me a call here.
But these aren't necessarily them.
I'm Blaine, and it's time to complain.
And thank you for tuning in to AM 760.
The top finalists will compete Sunday. Who will be the next Progressive Radio Star? Stay tuned to AM 760 Progressive Talk.
I don't think I'm being difficult. I just want my new home to say certain things about me. That's all. Like, what a fascinating person you are. Or, my, what a big kitchen island you have. Or maybe, look at that built-in tech area for the kids. You must be a wonderful mother. You know, that sort of thing.
Your home says a lot about you. Make sure it says all the right things. At John Lang Homes, we have a wide range of thoughtful new designs that will speak volumes about your practical nature and your good taste. They also say something important about us. Because we're a private company, we can choose to build a few hundred homes a year instead of a few thousand like larger publicly held builders, which means we can give more personal attention to you. If you want to move soon, we have some very smart choices for you. Come see us in Stapleton, Brighton, and Erie, where we have new homes ready for move-in. To learn more, visit us at johnlanghomes.com. That's Lang, spelled L-A-I-N-G.
9:45, 15 minutes away from 10 o'clock here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. This is the last month to take advantage of Rocky's Autos matching down. The program will not be available after the end of October. So if you are planning on taking advantage of the matching down incentive up to $1,500, you got to do it now, because it's going to be over by the end of October. And every vehicle on Rocky's lot has been winterized, so you can drive away knowing that your vehicle is in top condition for another Colorado winter. It's also a great time to shop for a new all-wheel drive or front-wheel drive or four-wheel drive vehicle to help you get through the winter driving conditions. And Rocky's always does a great job of decking out their showroom for all the holidays. And the Halloween decorations are up with a huge pile of Halloween pumpkins. Rocky's customers can take home one for their family free. So one free pumpkin per family, absolutely free, simply by going by Rocky's Autos. Or check them out on the internet at rockysautos.com, pre-qualify for a car loan, and talk to Steve, he handles that. Or see any of my friends out there at Rocky's, Tom and Marv, the Alshire brothers, Tom and Marv Alshire, Spanky, Gerard Menard, any of the folks working out there, John A. and Jason Mays, Jim Monroe, the list just goes on of good, friendly people working at the Rocky's Autos. But once again, I want to remind you that the matching down incentive runs out at the end of October. And don't forget about Operation Freebird, their big community event, which will be coming up in November. And I'll tell you more about that as we get closer. Rocky's Autos with the largest selection of clean, late model used vehicles in all of Colorado. They're Colorado's number one volume dealer, and it's large and it's diverse, and they got everything you can think of from Saab, Pontiac, Volkswagen, Toyota, Honda, Nissan, Dodge, Ford, Chevy, and the list just goes on and on and on. Rocky's Auto's open tonight until 9, and every night, Monday through Saturday until 9. Drop by and see them. Rocky's Auto's, 63rd and Federal.
Bacon, Eggs, and J. Marvin on AM 760 in the morning.
Progressive Talk.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam.
Good stuff, Dylan. 9:47. It's 47 minutes past the hour. High today, 43. Looks nice out there, but it's going to be cold. And it's open votes. So anything you want to talk about is fine. Let's go to Davis in Littleton. Davis, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. Nice to speak with you.
Nice to have you on.
You and I have chatted before. I have just one question for you, and it is a serious question. I'm not looking just to get a rise out of you. Serious question. If in November the Democrats don't prevail, the Republicans hold the House and the Senate, will Democrats, do you suppose, or will you individually finally admit that America has indeed heard your message but has rejected it? Because I've been hearing for years and years, every time Democrats lose elections, the Democrat strategists say, well, America just didn't hear our message. I believe that we have heard your message and have rejected it. So if that happens again, Democrats don't prevail, will you and other Democrats, do you suppose, finally admit America's heard our message and has rejected it?
No, I probably wouldn't. I would probably say that if we do fail to pick up the seats, and if it doesn't work, I would say that we'll have to take some critical look, not only at the party, but also at ourselves, and about how to get the message out and how to get it heard effectively. And there are all kinds of people running all kinds of campaigns on different levels, and some of them will be very, very successful. Some of them, because, for instance, because of gerrymandered districts, will not be as successful. Some of them, it's an extremely uphill climb. Some of them will be very, very surprising. But no, I don't think ultimately that if we fail to get a hold of the House or fail to get a hold of the Senate, that the Democrats, that the public has rejected basically our arguments or basically how we feel. That would be the same thing as if I could turn it around and say to you that if we do get control of the House, and if we were to get control of the Senate, and we may not, but if we were to get control of the House, would you then be willing to come on here and consider the fact that the public does not agree with the GOP's message?
Well, I'd have to assume that to a degree, and partially the GOP would deserve it because, frankly, they've been a tax and spend party for the last at least 6 years. So it's possible they could get thrown out. If they do, I'm not going to look at Democrats and say, the Democrats lied about us, it's the Democrats' fault. I'm going to look in the mirror, and I would like to hear that you guys would do the same thing.
No, I didn't say that in any way, shape, or form did I say that the Republicans were lying about us. I didn't say that at all. I said that the responsibility would have to lie with us, and that we would have to take a critical look at how we conducted ourselves and how the campaign was run. There's more to a campaign than running television ads. There's more to a campaign than getting on the media. There's also running a ground game as well, and the Republicans have a better ground game in most cases than we do, although we're in the process now of trying to rebuild that and trying to fix that with Howard Dean's 50-state strategy. But if I were to say to you that the things that you rely on, the things that the GOP relies on, the things that you champion, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, if the current GOP doesn't champion these things, stay the course in Iraq. Am I right about that?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we got to stay in better than going at this point.
All right. Maintain the tax cuts for the very wealthy.
Absolutely. The Dow hit 12,000 today, and that's why.
I'm not done yet. Sure. And you're right. The Dow did hit 12,000, and that's great if you're in the investor class.
It's the most the majority of Americans are. They own stocks in their retirement.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, the majority of Americans have suffered wage stagnation. Health care. I'm not sure what your plan is for health care, so I'm not sure what that would be. But
I don't like the costs are going up either, but we still have the best health care in the world.
Okay, but do you have but you guys don't have a plan to do anything about the costs going up, do you?
It's a free market.
So what you're essentially telling me is that you have no plan to control health care costs.
I don't think it's a crisis at this point. It's expensive.
Okay,
but
well,
I don't see it as a crisis.
Depends on how big of a pocketbook you've got. And then also the age-old question of energy independence. I don't think you guys have a plan on that either. Do you have one? I don't know if you've got one. Have you got one?
Well, I'd like to see us drill in Anwar, but in the long run, I'd like to see more nuclear. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I don't think the environmentalists will let that happen.
But what is the GOP stance on this?
I think if the GOP told you the truth, it would be that we'd like to see more nuclear, but for now, we've got to stay dependent on fossil fuels.
Okay.
I don't see a third way, Jay.
All right. All right. Do you read public opinion polls, or do you just disregard them?
For the most part, I disregard them.
All right. Well, then there's no need to go any farther.
Well, the only one that matters is the one on the election day.
Well, I think they do matter, but if you don't want to acknowledge them, and I can understand why you wouldn't want to acknowledge them.
They're not accurate all the time.
Really?
It depends on what poll you read on what day.
Even if it favors you?
Yeah, I don't pay attention to that.
Okay. Well,
I worry about the poll that the American people give when they cast their vote. That's the one that matters.
All right. Then there's no need to go any farther.
Okay.
All right.
Jay, I appreciate the honest debate.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Let's go to Bill in Jamestown. Bill, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing today, Jay? And thank you for your truth in being on the air. That last guy doesn't sound like he does anything but drink some strange Kool-Aid.
No, he has a right to his opinion. I think he echoes what I was trying to say to him, which is that the GOP, as he articulates it, has no real plans for things, or they have no real new plans. And as I wanted to point out to him, that numerous poll after numerous poll shows that his party at this particular time is not in the mainstream of American thought, but those polls don't mean anything to him. So that's why I said then there's nothing more to say.
Hey, what I wanted to talk about is last night I was watching BBC World News. I don't know if you ever watched that.
Mm-hmm.
The surprise, November surprise they had on there is going to be that James Baker is going to announce a new course, new direction. The new direction, according to the BBC, is going to be they're going to announce that there is actually a civil war going on in Iraq. They are, at the same time, going to ask for Syria and Iran to come in and help, and the U.S. is going to bail out. That is what the BBC World News had on last night.
Well, that story's been going around for quite a while.
Well, I couldn't believe it was on BBC World News. Another thing, did you happen to see Frontline last night?
No.
Oh, if you get a chance, go in on PBS.org and watch Frontline, The Lost Years. It'll show you how this administration has deceived us, and it goes all the way from 2004 to 2005, and it's too bad that they can't continue to 2006, and it's really sad what has happened just in the last 24 hours where we lost 10 of our soldiers, and that the fact that they have put them out there on the streets as targets for these people, and they've said that they're going to target American troops.
All right. I appreciate the call, man. Thank you, and I'll check it out.
Hey, you have a good day.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to four. We have Majority Leader Alice Madden on the line. Majority Leader, hi, good morning.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
I'm doing good. What about you?
Good. Hey, I that last caller, or the second to the previous caller, reminded me a little bit about the article today about the 527 money that's being spent on the campaigns. And I had to laugh when he said there was no health care crisis. So I think that's exactly why we won at the state level in the House and Senate, was because people were tired of this sort of elitist status quo the Republicans were shoving down our throats. And just ignoring the 700,000 uninsured and saying it's no big deal.
Well, you
no big deal to them.
Well, it's the same thing as when I brought up to him, well, what about the polls? And I ignore them. Well, there's some people, I mean, he has a right to his opinion, but he just lives in denial.
Well, that's exactly right. And this article today was frankly disturbing because the 527s they didn't list. And they didn't list them because they haven't reported. But there's a skyline 527 that's playing in the House and Senate races that's funded by insurance companies solely.
Mm.
And it's a State Farm insurance agent who's the agent of the Skyline group that's attacking some of our folks. Pharma, which is the association of the largest drug companies in the world, is actually sending out direct mail against Gwen Green and Debbie Benefield and Reesburg because we've been trying to lower the cost of prescription drugs. So I've counted 8 Republican 527s, and they kind of shift the money around, so it's harder to track, and several of them didn't report last week when they should have. So I just want folks to, when they get mail like that, look whose name is on it and consider the source.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I wish there was a way we could plug up these 527s, and of course the Trailhead Group is probably, or whatever name they're using this week, is probably one of the most notorious. And you're right, they're out there, and they're out there smearing and distorting, and people need to check out stuff very, very carefully.
I know, and it's a shame, because I believe in, obviously, freedom of speech and First Amendment, but there's no accounting for taste.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Or morals.
That's exactly right. So, and with the mail, it's just too hard to track a lie. We've been able to pull off radio ads against some of our folks. Debbie Benefield got something pulled. Jim Reesburg got something pulled. That was, you know, false. And it is a crime now. It's not just, you know, it's hard to say you're slandering a public official. We all know that. We're grown-ups. We can take it. But it's actually a crime now to recklessly spread false information. So when it's on the radio, cable, you can get it pulled. But these mailers are particularly dangerous because there's no way to stop them.
Yeah, that and these robocalls.
I know. Robocalls are very interesting because we've tried to limit them for commercial use, obviously. You don't want someone calling up during your dinner hour asking for your money or asking you to buy your product. Again, it's a matter of free speech, so it's a little more difficult to actually constitutionally limit those. So my advice to anyone was, you know, use common sense and don't do more harm than good if you're going to use a robocall. Be smart about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Majority Leader, thank you so much for being on, and you know the door is always open here. Anytime you want on, you're on.
Hey, thanks for doing what you do, Jay.
Oh, you know what? I love you, too. Take care.
Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye.
Here's Majority Leader Alice Madden calling into the program. She's the best. All right. Make sure you vote absentee. Make sure you get your ballot and make sure you vote. Make sure you get everybody you know to vote. We need to go to the polls. We need to turn out the ground game.